B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It is the Over Under 98.5 podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. It is championship week, and we are just a couple of days away from Selection Sunday. Dan, we usually start the show by recapping last week. I think things went very well, but is there anything you've learned with championship week that, you know, heading into Selection Sunday and knowing we're about a week away from March Madness, have you learned anything this week, Dan?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we kind of talked about it last week that everything was going to be different. The lines were going to be different. You know, everything was going to kind of be different this week. You expect a lot of upsets, everything. And, you know, I don't think I took my own advice as much as I should have. I prepped my system, I guess to say, as well as I should have. And so today has been pretty bad for me, to be honest with you. And so I am just, I'm in a not so great mood. And honestly, this is one of those days. I'll definitely take it as a learning experience that, you know, I tweeted out this morning. Today is one of the toughest days to play college basketball. It's really hard, and, you know, I should have gone light. I baited myself into it today because I saw lines I liked. I baited myself into it, and I lost. And, you know, I lost to Michigan State. I was actually doing well early. I had, you know, Florida and Memphis early for myself. Both of those won. And then I had Michigan State. I was still up a little bit, and then I decided to bait myself in tonight. Took Virginia, -8. They lost outright. So then, then I had UL Monroe. They got murdered. And we have Wichita. I think they're going to cover. They're up by like 4 with a few minutes left. Nope, they're up by 2. So they may not even cover at this point, which is ridiculous. So honestly, at this point, I learned that I might just not bet this day next year. If I had to take something away, it would just be this day in particular is the same day I had bad day last year. I remember it. And I did it again, Joe. And I need to remember next year, the Friday before Championship Saturday, I need to go light. I need to play small or don't play at all.
Yeah, I think what I learned is those day games, man. Yesterday, as most people know, I went 6-0. And those day games was just on fire. I couldn't miss. Had 2 late night losses. Had that. I went under in the Duke game. It went over. And then I bet Hawaii, it looked too good to be true. They lost on a buzzer beater. So, and then I woke up the next day and it just, something didn't feel right, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Coming off a 6-2 day, just to go over like those games from this morning that, or from today that like really, I don't know, just smelled a little funny, but I learned quick today to stand away. VCU had them, they lose to URI, but they also lost their best player.
Yep.
I didn't think Houston would do what they did to UConn. I'm sorry. I didn't think so. Michigan State, as you know, did not score in the final 4 minutes of the game and won by 7.
After being up by 21.
I had a second half bet on that one. It went to shit. I had LSU. If I told you that there was a 6-point possession in that game, that could have been a 7-point possession, would you believe me?
Yes, I would. Actually, I saw that possession.
But they lost on a big 3 is what they lost on.
Yep.
And after those 2 losses, I took Memphis second half that rolled. I somehow had the over in Wisconsin that hit on the final shot, if you happen to see that one. And I said to myself, when I go to the blackjack table, Dan, and it's cold, you know, I get up and I leave the table. That's what I did today. I'm like, I am not going to blow my brains out before we get to even 5 p.m. or 7 p.m. Because there were some good games earlier. I mean, I didn't even see Villanova, Xavier, two teams on the list. You know, I didn't even see that. How about you mentioned Virginia? Who saw them losing by 10 to Florida State?
That was bad.
Purdue lost outright to Minnesota.
I liked Minnesota in that one. I'm not surprised by that one. Doesn't surprise me, which is funny. It's just that, you know, the Duke score right now, Duke's up by one with 13 seconds left.
Duke wins 74-73.
Okay, Duke wins, yeah. But that doesn't surprise me that UNC covers. In no way does that surprise me. I expected that. It's just, you know, I'm not surprised that Auburn came back and won. I'm not surprised the Buffalo didn't cover. I'm not surprised that Kentucky covered. I thought about taking them. I'm not surprised the Iowa State won. It's just, you know, it's one of those days where, like, everything that I liked, you know, hit except for the plays that I played. And it's just one of those days. You just got to, you know, you just got to take it. One of those learning experiences. Yeah. So,
I stepped away from the table.
I should have. I should have taken my dude, 2-1.
How many people do you know are on Duke tonight?
Everyone. I mean, literally everyone I talked to said, Duke. I think Duke's safe. I was like, okay. I told them I'm not playing the game. I have no interest in playing that game. I think it's hard to find an edge in something that small. But if you like it side, I'd like that. I told them I leaned UNC. So.
Yeah. Once I saw UNC at 4, it looked juicy. I didn't touch it. I fell asleep, to be honest. So I guess I would. What, I want a few shingles.
So here's the question, Joe. It is 11:34. I like Fresno State. I played it. Okay. I like Arizona State. Do I play Arizona State? Do I post Arizona State? Or do I just call it a day?
I'd call it a day, man.
All right.
I would, you know.
All right. I'm going to take your advice. You're right.
I'm thinking like you. There's going to be a lot of action tomorrow.
Yep.
A lot of action on Saturday. And I just want to throw this one out. The 3 days and three games in 3 days thing, I didn't really see it today. You know, I didn't see it from some teams. I just didn't see it from URI today. You know, the three games in 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that exists anymore. I don't think that's a thing. Like, I think that these guys are so well-conditioned and rested throughout the year. They play, like, two games a week, three max. You know, I just don't think that those games matter that much. You know, unless you're coming off an injury like Zion or something, I don't think they matter that much.
Mm.
I think maybe that's starting to become an overplayed angle, kind of like the West to East thing in the NFL. That's not a real thing anymore. Like, that thing has been gone for years. That's not a real angle anymore. You know, it's not a bettable angle, at least, because, you know, books have adjusted for what. So I just kind of think that maybe that's not a thing anymore, Joe.
Yeah. And then if you really want to look ahead, we will. You know, obviously Sunday is going to be a big day with Selection Sunday. We have games starting at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning Eastern time.
Yep.
Vermont, the Ivy League starts. We got Wisconsin versus Michigan State at 1 o'clock tomorrow. You mean to tell me you want to put money on any of those teams right now? How about Florida, Auburn? Which way would you go on that one?
Let's save it.
do you know what I'm saying? Like, can you possibly go back to Memphis, Houston, well today?
I mean, yeah, I think there's some spots. There's definitely games we talked about. I feel dirty. I feel dirty right now. I feel dumb. Right now, I'm in a state of, like, regret. So it's just, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you regret. Like, I was 2-1 early. I said it. I tweeted it out. Today is a tough day to bet. It always is. I didn't learn my lesson. I did not even listen to myself. So I'm disappointed in myself, filled with regret. So
anything else? We can move on here. We sound like we're at a funeral.
Oh no! I mean, I am. I'm at a funeral, and I barely lost. I'm just pissed. I guess I'm pissed more than anything. So
okay, couple of things here before we move on. We're gonna try to give out as many picks as we can, or at least thoughts on picks. The reason why we give out picks is so you listen to the podcast. So I will say that sounds like we have some diehards who really like the podcast, which is awesome, man. Like, some people were just like, dude, I listen every week. You know, they get that notification, I listen to the podcast. They say they like it. So I'm glad we have that going, Dan. What is it, 35 weeks, 36 weeks now?
This is episode 35, Reggie Lewis episode.
Wow. Just some things that I do want to just touch on quickly that we didn't get into last week. What was that baseball? Now that they're gonna start sending the lineups to odds makers.
Yeah, no, this is a great idea. I actually completely forgot about this. So, baseball teams from now on, starting this season, will be sending their lineups. They will not be posting them. We will not know the lineups. Okay. Baseball teams will now be sending the lineups to MLB headquarters. MLB headquarters will then be sending them to the Vegas books, and Vegas books will then share them with online books. So every bookmaker will have odds or have the lineups, but players will not, which means there's going to be a whole lot of movement. Now, every year there are guys who chase steam. I don't know you bet the MLB. We haven't really, I don't think, talked about the MLB betting much in general, just, you know, together. But basically, there's a lot of guys who bet, you know, chase steam. And by steam, I mean, you know, when a play goes from minus 110 to minus 130 to minus 150, players will immediately bet that.
Follow the money. Yep.
Yeah, or not even the money, but just follow the line. You know, sometimes it's fake. However, now books are going to be able to fuck with you. And they're going to be able to, you know, do whatever they want. To be honest with you, they're going to be able to move the line. They're going to be able to, you know, do whatever they want. Fake movement is what I'm calling it. Fake movement. Be prepared for fake movement all year, Joe. And so to me, that is one of the major stories to come out of gambling this year, is that players will not know the lineups, but all the bookmakers will. And so that to me is, that's a horrible disadvantage for a bettor, especially in baseball.
Yeah, and just think of all the juice that's involved, you know? Like, you know, $10, $20 go a long way if you're putting, $1,000, a couple hundred bucks. That's interesting. I found that very interesting this week. We'll get into that a little bit more. Just another thing to throw out there. We talk about Barstool a lot. I think it's because they're how can you not watch their videos when, you know, when there's a loss and they show Marty Mush or, you know, things like that. But did you see this with Portnoy? He was going to bet pretty much every under or every over during the games, and I believe he got a letter from the NCAA. Have you seen this?
No, I've not.
Okay, so I'll try to pull it up to get more information, but I absolutely think that some of these lines were moved. Like, I don't want to make a joke of it. Oh, the Barstools are moving lines. I actually think that, like, it made an impact yesterday. There were totals that moved in the game. You know, there's just regular fans who follow them and might make bets just because they want to, like, be a part of it and understand what those guys are saying. I saw it today, and I didn't read the whole thing. But, yeah, I did see that, you know, with all the gambling talk, that, you know, nice little letter. Went to El Prez, and I know that he's been trying to bet those unders today.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not working so well.
No, they're not going well, which is funny because he bet the unders yesterday. It didn't go great, but the first half under yesterday was like 20-6 or something ridiculous, but the full game's under, you know, the second half just kept going over. So the full game unders kept getting, you know, crushed in the end, but the first half unders were money yesterday. Nonetheless, That's hilarious. And the thing is that Barstool, you know, Barstool doesn't have the influence to move lines, Joe. I wouldn't say
it's no, and I please, Joe, just hyperbole there, okay?
No, I know what you're saying. But, like, you know, Barstool, let me rephrase. Barstool does have the influence, but I just don't think they have the clout. So I guess that's the difference. Like, they have, like, enough bettors and people following them legitimately to probably move some lines. Do they have the clout that bookmakers will respect them? I don't think so. So I think that's kind of the difference for me, is that they really don't. But, I mean, do they have the, you know, the influence, the money, the amount of bets being placed on them? I think you could see that, you know, Barstool being a potential maybe half-point value in a few of these, you know, lower bet games type, you know, type thing.
Can you hear this audio? Can you hear this audio right now?
No. Oh, okay. Kind of. I can, yeah, not really. Kind of hear it.
But yeah, you got a nice little lawsuit from NCAA, and I'm not sure why, but it was ripped up. But I got to say though, those guys have been funny. I like their work. It's how can you not watch it? You know, how can you not watch it?
Dude, watching Marty Mush lose, and again, I want Marty to win, but man, is he a bad bettor. But watching Marty Mush lose will never get old. I mean, I sometimes just think the kid wants to lose, seriously, like putting money on Duke again tonight. Like he just wants to lose. And so it is, there's nothing more entertaining than watching that kid. I mean, seriously, even if he's faking it, I don't care. That kid is pure entertainment, honestly.
Oh yeah. So it's great. I like to know who they're on, to be honest with you.
Me too.
When we make a play, and sometimes if they're on it, man, it's been an interesting week. Nobody can say, like, dude, yesterday, I'll tell you, I thought I was killing it, man.
I mean, we were 11-4 combined. You were 6-2. I was 5-2 the whole week. I mean, we've actually been pretty good. I had a bad Monday. It was 0-2. I don't think I bet anything. I think I was 0-1 Tuesday. I didn't bet Wednesday. I was 2-1 on Thursday, 5-2 yesterday, or maybe I was like 1-0 Wednesday. I didn't bet much. 2-1 on Thursday. Didn't play either of my hockey players, which both would have won, so that would have been, you know, nice, but we didn't play them. We only played one of the hockey players yesterday. They all three of them won, so that would have been nice if we played all three, but we didn't. And so, you know, That's that. But I mean, really, to be honest, I had a pretty good week. Like, it's not the week I'm mad about. It's just today. I'm just bummed out about today.
Yeah, man. I wanted to roll in the weekend and start throwing weekend.
Exactly. I want to like roll in, like just, you know, flying high, you know, and again, I'm going to Vegas on Tuesday night. So yeah. I was like all ready to, like, you know, I'm like, all right, we're rolling. I'm kicking ass, like cashing out a little bit. And I, you know, bring some money to Vegas and, oh, you know, now it's not that I can't. I'm just disappointed. I didn't even lose that much today. I'm just more mad than anything.
Now, will we be dipping into Dan Lifshad's birthday during this podcast?
No, we don't need to do that. No, that's not till Sunday.
Okay. Just wanted to, you know, because, hey, I'm the birthday boy. You know, sometimes you want to ride the streak a little bit.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Not today. Maybe we'll do it. I don't even think, are there plays? Are there any games Sunday? I don't even know if they're games Sunday.
I know the Ivy League game. We got a Ivy League game Sunday.
Yeah, I got a couple fun. We got the Ivy, SEC, Atlantic 10, Sun Belt, Air Force, Big 10. Okay. So we got some championship games. So maybe I'll play with those and ride high into the the Vegas trip.
And you got a Mountain West degenerate special tonight between Cal State Fullerton and Cal Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be paying attention to the Arizona State game as well as the Fresno State game. I like both Fresno State.
Just to cap this, let's have some fun with it.
Sure. I'm moved on. I'm good. I'm moving on. I feel confident about tomorrow. I mean, I feel confident every day. So
Oregon's 2.5. They should be favored. They've beaten Arizona State.
Yes.
I like Arizona State overall as a team. I think they have scores, but at times they lack scoring. And Oregon just plays such good defense that it leads to offense.
Yeah.
They're not a great scoring team. That Washington State team was one of the worst I've ever seen. Oh, my God. Was that team terrible?
I think I was on. Was that when Oregon was minus 11 the other day? I think I was on Oregon minus 11.
They destroyed them.
Yeah.
And then they won last night. They came from behind and beat Utah, who's got a nice little point guard named Barfield.
Yeah, Utah. But a lot of people love that Utah line because it was 4.5.
Yeah.
So, I think Oregon is definitely, ever since they lost Bol Bol, has definitely turned into a defensive team compared to what they were earlier in the season where they tried to outscore you. So they've reinvented themselves and successfully, to be fair. I mean, you know, they're pretty good. I mean, you know, they're the Pac-12, so, you know, tread lightly. They're in the semifinal, though, so still. But, I mean, you know, you lose your best player, you reinvent your team. It's impressive. And whatever. So, but I mean, I think tonight they go down. I think Arizona State beats about right.
Ooh!
Again, it's a 2.5-point dog. I don't think it's huge. But I do think they win.
Okay. And that total there at 132, just sitting there?
Yep. And by the way, Seton Hall is just taking a 5-point lead on Marquette.
Dude, four minutes
left to go. Marquette is unbettable right now.
You know who's on the list, right?
Oh, both of those teams.
Marquette in particular, though.
No, yeah, no. They're unbettable right now.
The list has worked, though.
They didn't cover, right? They didn't cover yesterday, right?
Not that I know of. Marquette won.
Yeah, they didn't cover. I lied. They covered versus St. John's. They crushed St. John's.
TCU faded TCU, and it worked out. Speaking of the list, Clemson is now on the list.
Oh, I love Clemson.
Dude, that NC State game, I'm sorry. You mean to tell me the officials had nothing to do with that final outcome? They blew an 18-point lead. They did.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I mean, I'm not surprised. You're talking about the Syracuse game, correct?
No, that was the NC State Clemson game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking back. Yeah, game.
No, Duke got a lead, and Syracuse hit that three at the end.
Yep, so that was bad. That's a bad beat. Yeah, no, the NC State game was brutal. That 100%. There was some refereeing. Go take a look at the free throws. There's a big disparity. That was the first thing I looked for immediately after that game ended. So you can always kind of tell, you know, if there's a big disparity, you know, which side the ref was on. Just saying. So, yeah, there was definitely some, you know, some shadiness going on in that one. I mean, that was brutal. So you're adding Clemson to the list because of that?
We suck.
No.
They're out.
I don't know. The thing is, like, everyone's like, oh, Michigan State needs to be added to the list. Like, I've ridden Michigan State all year. Today sucked, but I'm not going to add them to the list. I still think they're a legit tourney team. So I don't want to do that yet, you know? I might want to ride that team later in the tournament. So I don't want to do that yet.
Because the teams are on the list.
All right. Well, we'll have to actually get into the full list, into the actual. I want to get into the full Joe Murray list again because we removed some teams, we added some teams. I got to know who's on the list and everything.
I can't resist because the teams are on the list.
Now Clemson, yeah, Clemson's now on that list.
They're now on the list. All right, we'll take a brief pause. Let's put our little swim hats on, put our mittens on, and dive into another weekend and week of sports betting. It's the Over Under 985 podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. We will take a look at this weekend's plays next on Over Under 985.
Welcome back to Foxborough, practice number 2 of training camp.
From training camp,
it just matters that we won, man. It
was to championship celebrations.
I mean, it was like a home game here. We love you guys.
This is where Boston talks sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
Back here, OverUnder985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. Get Dan Lifshatz alongside as well. I wanted to just mention to you, Dan, that this week I stayed far away from the NBA. And I don't know if I, like, got a little bit of sticker shock last week from a few of these Celtics games. Like, I thought the lines were, like, dead on. I really did.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of these lines were dead on. But, that Golden State game the other day, no Kevin Durant. Houston's at home, -3, and somehow Golden State wins outright. And I don't know if that was fishy. I don't know where to go with that one. All I'm saying is I'm really glad I stayed away from you.
To be honest with you, I actually bet the NBA more than I have in the last couple weeks. It's been, again, very picking and choosing your spots, I feel. Tonight, my favorite NBA play was the under in the Lakers game, and it got steamed real low. Still an under, so that was nice. I did hit that. It was for minimal because I really wasn't. I was really focused on trying to win back my money in college basketball, which is silly, and it goes against all my principles as it is, so whatever. However,
are you a chaser, Dan?
No, not at all. Oh, no, I'm not a chaser. I don't do the chase. I'm I think that that's a bad way to get tripled up real quick. You know what I mean? That is the way that you get slayed very quickly. So I'm not a big fan of that at all.
Another thing to throw out there, like everyone asks, oh, who do you use for a book or what do you do? Like for me, and it's probably the same for you, we have an account, there's a balance in there, and there's only so much you can bet for the week.
Yeah, I mean, I have a plethora of different books. So I have different books because I like having different options, different lines and whatever, and I'll bet the best line that I can get. And because of that, I have a ton of different books. So people ask me, oh, how'd you get that line? Well, because I looked at six different books to get the line. So, you know, I'll take the one with the best line. And so, you know, I'm not recommending that you guys do that until you guys have large enough bankrolls where you can, you know, spread some money around sufficiently and everything. So that would kind of be the way I would look at that. But yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think that, you know, I do think, you know, that gives you a significant advantage when betting.
Okay. Good to know here. And I do want to throw out that I'm on. Can you hear me? I was going to say I'm on remote and you're at the studio and we had a pretty big storm today.
Yep.
So I hope we don't get any technical difficulties.
As we had a technical difficulty right there. But anyways, yeah, we have a few minutes. And then I have to switch over the board because I'm doing, you know, double duty right now. So
he's a working man.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly a working man.
Just quickly, I know you want to do some hockey stuff later. Has the Chicago Blackhawks over streak still gone?
It's starting to fade. It's gone under twice this week or went under twice this week. And so because of that, you know, we're starting to look at some real, you know, some real bad chasing or whatever. I do have to say for my hockey plays this week, I do have a Blackhawks over that I like. Ooh. So I will be giving you a Blackhawks over. I significantly cut the list. I think we got 8 plays this week. And that's it. Nothing. This is a bad hockey week. Not a lot. And, you know, not even the sometimes smaller plays qualified. There was only one and I cut it. And so, we're down to 8. But I think that these 8 are all very good. And so we're going to be rolling with these this week, Joe.
Very nice. And I'll just be honest. I've been in a NCAA basketball coma looking at everything. Like, literally tomorrow, America East, 11 a.m., I'm already looking at it.
There is no line. I've been waiting for the line. They have not put up the line. Here's my guess, though. If I had a guess, I would guess that Vermont is, because it's in Vermont, by the way, Vermont is going to be the home team tomorrow because it is in Vermont. I would say that Vermont is going to be a 6 or 7 point favorite versus UMBC. I think Vermont is going to win and cover tomorrow. I don't have the line. I don't have anything, but they have been incredibly, incredibly good at home this year. I will say UMBC did beat Vermont at Vermont earlier this year and then beat Vermont at home. So UMBC is 2-0 versus Vermont this year, which does give me some pause. If that line is really low, you know, if we're looking at like a 2 or 3 point line, Joe, UMBC might be the way to go. It's going to depend on the number for me. It really is. I think that number is going to be all telling. I don't even know if I'm going to play that game because I don't want to wake up at 11. I might just, if I have a line at 4 or 5 in the morning, I might just play it then.
By the way, I went up to Vermont over the summer. I went to the college. That area is outstanding. And the weather was pretty good today in the area. But, like, that is a college town. Like, I'm telling you, man, for a basketball team that's out there, right on the lake, like that is a hell of an area if you ever want to go up and root for the Catamounts.
Interesting.
Up there in Vermont.
I mean we used to play them all the time because I went to a school that was also in the America East, so I saw them all the time and I hate their fans. So you know, yeah, I'm that guy.
I hate to say it, but like if you like craft beer and cheese, that's the kind of crowd that you get
weed.
Up there.
And weed.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm a weed fan. I'm just saying, yeah. So, Joe, I do have to switch over the board.
Yeah, You go switch over.
All right.
And I'm gonna. Can I blab for a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So it's the over under 985 podcast. Dan has to do his
You got about a 5 minute, 5-6 minute rant here.
Okay. So I am going to rant for 5 or 6 minutes as Dan actually does his job. We are the over under 985 podcast. We work for 985 The Sports Hub in Boston. You can listen to us there, 985thesportshub.com, or on the app. I know people love plays. And I'll tell you, I've been a big second half play guy, and today was just interesting. Like, I actually don't think any teams truly came back. Like Virginia's been outstanding. Outstanding second half team. Nope. VCU did not come back today. Michigan State did come back, and they absolutely blew it. LSU had a lead, blew it. UCF was down 11 at the half, did not come back. Wisconsin, I thought, was going to pull away. They lost on a three-point shot at the end of the game on a total. Auburn did its thing. They came back and won. That's one team I'll give credit to. Davidson was another team that came back and won after halftime. Villanova, a team that's on the list, they came back. So for those who love to bet those second halves, when you see a team do it, you might want to ride with them the next. And that's one thing I'll say about Villanova is lately, when they've been down at the half, people have been putting money on it, and they lose the next game. So I'm starting to look at teams that you could favor in the second half, and I'll just give you two right off the bat. Florida State, an outright win today against Virginia, that's outstanding for them. And they had a game yesterday where they needed a three at the buzzer and then a go-ahead tip-in to absolutely win the game. Another team that I took yesterday that did not fail to come back today, even though they did cover second half, Kansas State. They came back, but they ended up losing ultimately to Iowa State. I thought Purdue would come back from Minnesota today. They were 7.5-point dogs at halftime, and they were down by 3 points. They lost the game by two. They did not come back and win. The other team I just wanted to mention is Kentucky.
Rolled.
Right now, I think Kentucky is just one of the best teams in the country, if you ask me. Like, Dan, if I asked you, okay, give me the four, your four best teams in the country right now that you would, the four best teams in the country that you think are deserving and that you would put money on.
To win it all?
If you were going to have a fun, yeah. You know what? Forget about, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I assume that's what it would be, you know. I'd say Duke with Zion, UNC, Michigan State, and the fourth is tough. So
I'm in on Kentucky. I'm out on Michigan State. Tennessee I'm still playing around with.
Nah.
But I think I might go back to Gonzaga, even though you had St. Mary's the other night.
No. You can't. I cannot trust that team with facing good talent. That's okay. My issue with that.
So Gonzaga's out then. And you would put the money on Michigan State then?
That would be where I would definitely over Gonzaga, yeah.
If you had to between Tennessee and Michigan State, who's your team?
Between Tennessee and Michigan State? Michigan State. I think that Michigan State's going to be an underrated team in the tournament. You know, we're going to do the podcast on Monday, so I think we can start looking ahead. But I will absolutely have money on Michigan State making and winning the Final Four.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that they're an underrated team. Did they choke down the stretch today? Yeah, but they had the game won. Like, I can be mad about it as a gambler, but in regards to closing out the game and winning the game, it's not that big of an issue. Like, it's just not that big of a deal that they won. So in my opinion, the way I look at it is, you know, they won, you know, so it is what it is.
Okay. There you go. I'm glad we came up with that, because I don't think Kentucky gets enough credit.
No, they really don't. I think Kentucky is right there, man. If Kansas didn't suck on the road this year, I would say Kansas. It's really tough for me to find a fourth team, Joe. I don't think that there's anyone capable of winning outside of those three teams. I think Kentucky's probably the closest. I do. Tennessee and Kentucky are like right there. You know, Kentucky wins at home. Tennessee wins at home. I don't think Tennessee has the NBA talent to close it out. So that's kind of what scares me about them. You know, I do like, you know, there's some other teams I like. Like, I do like Wisconsin. I think they're a good team.
I, uh, You know me. I'm a Big Ten guy. I like that team.
Yeah.
I can't. You can't trust them late. Especially today, like 8-point favorites. Nope. Can't do it.
Yeah. No. That's definitely fair. I've said many times, I can't bet on Virginia because they don't provide enough offense for me. Today was the perfect day. It showed you exactly why I cannot back Virginia, you know, in the tournament.
I think Virginia is so good, but like, man, maybe Florida State doesn't get enough credit.
That was going to say Florida State's a very good team. I just, you know, I overlooked them.
Florida
today.
State plays like, they play like 9 guys in a rotation and they all score.
Yep. I mean, they have depth. They have the depth to do it, but it doesn't necessarily mean they have the talent. You know, again, so again, it, to me, it's a three horse race this year. It's Duke, it's UNC, it's Michigan State. After that, you know, so therefore you're getting a preview of what I'm going to be betting on. You know, after that, you know, it's anyone's guess. So
somebody just got injured in the Arizona State game. His name is Remy Martin. I wonder what that will do for Arizona State.
That's not great.
So keep that in mind.
And Fresno State is getting dominated right now. So,
okay.
Lovely. Things are just getting better for me today. Wasn't big money, but whatever. So I'd say it's time to move into Saturday, Joe, because I need to forget about Friday.
Pennsylvania, against Harvard. The game's in Connecticut. Whenever Harvard's at home, Dan, they're a play. They're not far from home, even so. I mean, who's closer, Harvard or Penn? The line is even right now with a total of 134. It's Ivy League play. It's all Harvard for me if it's an even line.
Yeah, I've played Ivy League all year on Fridays. It's been fun. We try not to put out too much. To me, here's the thing. Pennsylvania was so good outside of their conference. I mean, really. You know, they beat UNI. They dominated Miami. They beat Villanova. Like, people forget about that win when Villanova was a top team. You know, they gave Kansas State a good fight for a half. To me, this is tough. The thing is that UPenn lost to Harvard twice in the regular season. They lost at home in overtime. They lost
three wins.
They lost at Harvard. It is tough to beat a team three times. However, I do think that, you know, I do think it's hard not to back Harvard here because they are the proverbial favorite.
Perennial Ivy League team.
Yeah,
right?
I will say I like UPenn tomorrow. This is not a game I'm probably going to bet. It doesn't fall within the parameters. I've already looked at this one of what I like to bet. I that UMBC Vermont game might be one I prefer to bet because of the number. Because I know, you know, the number is short. UNBC is probably, a more important play to me, you know, than you know, if the number is long. Maybe I like UNBC a bit more. Penn is hard. I feel like the number is right. It should probably be Harvard -1. I think Penn is actually -1 now. There's been a little bit of sharp action. I would definitely lean Penn in that game. That would be my lean in that one.
Total seems a little high for me at 134, but you know, again, it's a winner take all game, fouls at the end, things of that degree.
On the road, and again, I'll just tell you this, on the road, Harvard scores a ton of points.
Huh.
So so does Penn. So that would be the one thing I would look at. Penn scores a lot of points on the road. 72 at George Mason, 76 at Delaware State, 75 in New Mexico. They crapped them versus Toledo, scored 45. But gave up 77. 65 at Princeton. 77 at Temple. That's a very impressive win, by the way. 71 at Cornell. 72 at Columbia. 92 at Brown. 65 at Yale. 53 at Harvard. That was the bad one. And then 65 at Dartmouth. They do score a good amount of points, Joe. So that would be the only thing I would worry about in that total. You know, they're not a bad road squad.
Okay. Rhode Island played well today. Forget about VCU and their injury. They played very well today. They got a little point guard named Fats. It was pretty good. Here they are getting no respect again. 1.5-point dog to St. Bonaventure's. The only thing I'll say is this. Bonnies have been hot. But in this spot, considering what URI did last year, would you back URI here?
Again, I wonder if what respect URI will get. You know, I wonder if this is going to be I wonder if this is going to be a team that everyone backs as like a fave tomorrow, or if there's going to be very even betting on this one. This one is very interesting to me. Listen, URI crushed St. Bonaventure earlier this year at home.
Yeah, back in January.
Yeah, yep. beat him by 12, which was an interesting, because I actually remember betting on them that game. So I specifically remember that game. I do think that URI has a very good shot. I'm not going to bet against St. Bonaventure tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll take Rhode Island. I don't think I'll bet Bonnie's. 1.5, I have to look at it a little bit further. You have to look into, obviously, you know, the stats and all the stuff you look into. But just off the top, it's about right. But it's hard to go against Bonaventure right now.
Yeah, URI, I'm telling you, man. Like, I thought they sucked this year. I thought they, obviously, new coach, they lost some players.
They weren't good in the A-10. They had a bad stretch. Bad stretch. But then they finished the year real strong.
Yep, they've won 6 in a row now. St. Bonaventure's 8-2 in their last 10.
And they lost 5 in a row before that, and they lost 7 of their 8, you know, 7 of the last 8 before that 6-game win streak.
They got another player that plays in the middle. Forget his name. They got a nice little squad there. I'm not going to touch that game tomorrow. You know why? Because we got a Big Ten special, Dan.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. So, off the bat, Wisconsin versus Michigan State.
Yep.
Do you know what the line is?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what the total is?
Yeah, it's 129.5. Line is Michigan under. State minus 5.
Under.
I agree.
Under.
I agree with that.
Big Ten under.
I agree. Big Ten under. To me, Joe, this could be a play of mine. I really think that this is a good spot for Wisconsin tomorrow. Oh. I think this sets up good for Wisconsin. Wisconsin been rolling.
Well, you got Ward and Happ. That's an interesting matchup right there. And,
agreed.
You know, Ward on both those big men on Wisconsin, if they get them into foul trouble, can Happ hit those free throws? Like, there's a lot of things in play in this one.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, while Wisconsin has been winning, you know, they had to go in the overtime versus Ohio State, barely beat Nebraska. So it's tough for me to back them. I for whatever reason, I like them tomorrow. Maybe it's because they're close. I don't know what it is, honestly. I wish I had an idea. You know, maybe this is one of those games, like, I like them right now. Maybe I won't like them tomorrow morning. But I do like Wisconsin at the 5 right now. That's all.
The one thing I'll say about Wisconsin is a lot of their key like role players stepped up today to help them win. They got this kid Khalil Iverson; he plays the 4 sometimes,
yeah.
And then they got a Nate Rivers who dropped 14 today. Like those, if they didn't play well, they lose today's game. But their big guys are Happ, Davison, Trice. Like that's their big 3. I just think Michigan State has more firepower. The point guard there, Ward is still working his way back in. Like on a look value, Dan, I totally see Wisconsin. Michigan State can't lose to Wisconsin. They can't.
I don't think so either.
If they're going to be the team you think they are, they can't lose to them.
Well, I don't think so either. But I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I would like to look at this game a little bit deeper tonight, look into it. But again, Wisconsin, I feel like, is being underrated in certain aspects. You know, they had a good Big Ten year. I know they struggled versus Michigan State in their game, you know, at home. But, you know, Wisconsin was pretty good this year. They've been pretty good the last couple of weeks. And I know they had to take Ohio State to beat them in overtime or whatever it was. But, you know, they've been pretty good. You know, they took care of business versus Nebraska today. A Nebraska team who beat Maryland and was playing very well, you know, to be perfectly fair. You know, they you know, Maryland is, you know, playing pretty well. They came in, they beat Maryland, and then they beat them, you know, and then, you know, then they came up against Wisconsin, and Wisconsin probably should have beat them and probably should have covered today, if not for that late 3. So, you know, it's hard for me to discredit what Wisconsin has done recently. You know, that Penn State win, not an easy win. They blew out Iowa before that by 20. Again, I know Iowa isn't great and they got murdered tonight, but I just think that it's going to be – it's interesting. I think people are very much disrespecting Wisconsin.
Okay. And again, the total's one – I smell 65-60 all over it. I don't know what it is. It just smells of 65-60. And I don't know which side will be which on that one. But That's a Big Ten game at 1 o'clock, and you know me. Oh, by the way, Dan, I will be live on the air after the Celtics game and before the Bruins game tomorrow.
Oh, right in between.
So we might have some live in-game betting Boston Radio. All right, let's just dive into the SEC. Auburn is favored against Florida.
Yeah.
Do you think that's right?
Yes, I do think the line is correct. Auburn's a 3-point fave. I think that they should be a favorite in that game. I have to say, Auburn was horrendous in the first half, and any good team would have put them away.
That's one thing I was saying about some teams. They were another team that came back to it.
They're lucky. They're lucky they played a bad South Carolina team. That's the way I look at it. They're lucky they played a bad South Carolina team. That's my opinion. I like Florida. I told you all year that I think Florida plays well as a team. You know, I think that I was on Florida today versus LSU. I know that you were on LSU, but I like Florida. They played them tough. You know, you think LSU is different without their coach. I got to be honest with you. I like Florida. Florida plus 3 is definitely definitely a play I like tomorrow.
I think Bryce Brown will need to be the difference in this game if Auburn will win. Right now, I lean Florida. The last time the two teams played, Auburn took care of business and Brown was outstanding. So, like, I feel like if he plays like he does and they have no letdowns, it's Auburn. But if Auburn's going to keep it close, like if they're going to not play up to their potential, it's got Florida written all over it. But I will say this, Auburn's won 6 in a row. Like, they're now one of the better SEC teams. And I don't think they'll beat Kentucky, but if they beat Florida, I can't wait to watch that game.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn is a high-octane team. I just think when Florida, and again, we forget, Florida a couple weeks ago played Kentucky in Kentucky. And that first half, Florida dominated that first half. Dominated that first half. They should have been leading by at least 6 or 7. I think they were leading by like 2 or 3 at half. Okay. And then, you know, Kentucky came back in the second half. Kentucky finished them off. I don't even remember if they covered it. I think the spread was 8 that game. But nonetheless, Florida played them very tough. I think we've seen Florida get better as we've seen the year go on. They, you know, weren't great in the SEC this year, but neither was Auburn. I think Florida's good. I do think Florida covers and wins tomorrow. I do.
Okay. And I'll tell you, Auburn's a great team right now.
They are.
Again, they won 6 in a row. And
they weren't good today. To be honest, they were not good that first half today. So, if they play that first half versus Florida, Florida takes care of business against them.
Okay. Going back to the Ivy League, Princeton and Yale. Yale's 10-point favorites. When I see that, Dan, it makes me think Yale right off the bat.
Well, Princeton has struggled versus Yale badly this year. So, it's interesting.
By the way, do you like betting Ivy League?
I love betting the Ivy League. Yeah, it's actually been one of my most successful leagues this year. I've been very good on Fridays when I post 1 or 2 plays and kind of cut the limit on everything. Here's the thing. I agree. I think Yale is definitely the play tomorrow. I think there's a good chance I'll be on that one. To me, it's the rule of 3, though. You know, they crushed Princeton twice. Everyone's going to be on Princeton that game. In my opinion, I think you're going to see a lot of people on Princeton. New Haven, Connecticut, obviously, is basically going to be a home game for Yale. It's tough for me not to back Yale there. The problem is that these big spreads with these teams right now, I'm having trouble hitting them. So I'm a little worried about that. But I agree. I initially really like Yale tomorrow.
Okay. Memphis and Houston, Penny Hardaway.
Are we skipping over Norfolk State, North Carolina Central? Geez. I'm just asking. I don't know what the spread is. There's no spread. Norfolk State will be home tomorrow. The final is at Norfolk State.
Give me Norfolk State.
I don't know the spread. So I don't know. And I will say North Carolina Central, did lose in overtime at Norfolk State. So they played them tough the one time they played this year. Don't know the spread. Don't know North Carolina Central very well. Any bet against them once this year. Norfolk State's a very good team. They're the best team in the MEAC.
They're good at home, and NCCU is 4-12 on the road.
Yeah, NCC is a tough road team. But let's be fair, they got to the final, and they beat Delaware State and North Carolina AT&T, who was the favorite today.
Okay. Memphis, Houston. I don't like Houston. A couple of weeks ago, they lost to UCF, and they have bounced back. They've won every single game since. I think they've covered every single game since that game. Memphis, though, was awesome. Jeremiah Martin, one of their best players. I'm trying to think of who went off today. Somebody went off today for them. Bruton, I believe, yeah. I look at this, right? Like, is Memphis overrated in this one here after their big win? It's 7.5 is the spread.
So this is the last game before I got to switch over the board. I will say, you know, this is one of the, it's tough to
judge. I
think
7.5 is too many in this game. That's all I think.
Yeah, that's what I want to think too. You know, again, this is also in Memphis. This is a home game for Memphis tomorrow, FYI. I know they're the road team, but this is in Memphis at the FedEx Forum. You know, it's tough. Memphis lost to them early in the year. It was January, you know, by like 13. They struggled. They lost there. But ever since, they've been much better, especially the last couple of weeks. They've been very good. They lost to Cincinnati, but, you know, lost by 2. They played very well at UCF. Crushed Tulane. Beat Wichita State, who won tonight. They beat Temple. You know, they beat Tulsa and Tulane again. And then they beat UCF again and murdered them 24 in that game today. That's a big giant win where UCF was favored. I want to say I like Memphis. I do. Man, that line, Houston has been covering these spreads at a nauseum. 10-point favors UConn. They beat them like 30. It will be hard for me to back Memphis tomorrow. Hard for me to back Memphis. If you want to pause, we can pause, we can continue.
Yeah, Dan, go do your thing. I'll keep it rolling here.
Okay.
While you go do that, and we've kind of gone over a few games today. No PPs yet. We talked about Pennsylvania, Harvard, the Wisconsin, Michigan State game. That's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. There's some really good games. Like, if you're getting up early, Wisconsin, Michigan State at 1 o'clock, Florida, Auburn at 1 o'clock. That Rhode Island, St. Bonnie's game. I know some people are going to be in on. Getting into the 2:30 games, Princeton and Yale. We just broke down Memphis and Houston. Again, Houston's won 30 games this year in the American Conference. 30 games. They have 2 losses, and I remember both losses very well. Memphis with Penny Hardaway now, as their coach. He's turned that program around. They're certainly a team to keep your eye on tomorrow. There are some other really good games, and we're kind of going by the time. And again, at 3 o'clock tomorrow, we just mentioned Memphis, Houston. The other big game at 3 o'clock is Tennessee in Kentucky. This is gonna be the third time now we've seen these two. Kentucky won the first meeting. Tennessee took care of business in that second meeting, and here they are now on a neutral court. I don't have a line yet for this game. I'll see if Dan does. I don't have a line for it yet. I'm going to say Kentucky's going to be a slight favorite. And right now, if you're looking at the top 25 rankings between these two teams, Kentucky's 4 and Tennessee is 8 in that one. So just off of a blind eye, I like Kentucky, but Tennessee is playing really well right now. Like, they've turned it around. Kentucky's won 3 in a row. Tennessee did lose. They came back with a win. The one thing with Kentucky, with Tennessee, is they were an outstanding team at home. So now that they're not at home, how do they play on a neutral site game against Kentucky? Right off the bat, I lean Kentucky in this one, but I need to see what the line is. And I do think that Kentucky will be favored in this one, and we'll get Dan's thoughts on it in just a minute here. But that's two big 3 o'clock games tomorrow: Tennessee, Kentucky, and then Memphis in Houston. And I'll tell you, I actually think Tennessee and Kentucky are better teams than Houston, even though Houston has 2 losses all season. And I think that has a lot to do with the conference between the two of them. But yeah, if I was going to put money on it, those 3 teams, it's Kentucky. And in this spot, I think it's Kentucky tomorrow. And again, we'll get Dan's thoughts on that as you're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. We're doing stuff for remote tonight. I'm home. Dan's working. He has a job where he has to monitor the board at the radio station. So we're just taking a little bit of little break in between while he does that. Again, we're going to highlight the Minnesota-Michigan game. That's at 3:30 tomorrow as well. And then we start getting into some of the evening games. Wichita-Cincinnati, Iowa State-Kansas, Seton Hall. They beat Marquette again tonight. And I have tweets coming in right now that there were some interesting calls in that game. I did not see it. So that's another one. Seton Hall, Villanova. I don't even know if I can touch Villanova in that one. How about Buffalo? They won again last night. And then there's Florida State and Duke. Florida State have two huge wins. Huge wins. So that's the card, and we're going to give you some picks coming up here in just a little bit. It's over on a 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. We might look at some NBA stuff coming up in a minute here. Dan, of course, will have his hockey segment, which I haven't really gotten on. Yep, I just saw the highlights of that Marquette-Seton Hall game. Seton Hall pulled it out again. And right now, Utah State is up 50-27 on Fresno. Holy crap.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
So Dan, while you were gone, I was just mentioning some of the games that are coming up. We already got into the 1 o'clock slate with Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Florida Auburn. We just went over Memphis and Houston, but the other big game is Tennessee, Kentucky. And I don't have a line yet; nothing's out. But just off the bat, give me Kentucky. If Tennessee is not at home, I like Kentucky. This will be the third meeting, and I remember the last one, Tennessee. They absolutely blew out Kentucky. That was without their player Reed. So I think he's back now. I like Kentucky in tomorrow's game. I'm not even doing any more research. I like Kentucky.
Do you want me to see if I can get you a spread?
Yeah, what do we got for a little line there?
Let's see. Nothing. We got nothing.
Yeah, I've been looking.
We got nothing. Yeah. Nothing on, not on BOL, nothing on Five Dimes. All right, let's here's the thing. This is in Tennessee.
at their home court?
It's in Nashville. That's my issue. It's in Nashville, so it's a little bit tougher to want to back Kentucky in this spot.
What are you going to say? I'm going to say Kentucky 2.5.
At Tennessee?
I'm going to say Kentucky
2.5. I'll say Tennessee minus one.
Oh, God.
I think if Tennessee's a favorite in this game, you have to back them. I think they're a good home team. Here's the thing. In the tournament, do you want to back a team that just isn't a good road team? Now let's review Tennessee's road SEC history.
Well, they made the list because of
it. Well, at Missouri, they won 87-63. Good win. I'll give them that. That was a good win on January 8th. At Florida, 78-67. Okay. At Vanderbilt, 88-83. That's disgusting. They should crush Vanderbilt. At South Carolina, 92-70. Good. Here's where it goes bad. At Texas A&M, 93-76. Good win. That's what they should do. Here's where it starts going bad. Okay. At Kentucky, loss 86-69. At LSU, loss 82-80. At Ole Miss, 173-71 in a game they did not deserve to win. At Auburn, 84-80. You know, when they face a decent opponent on the road, to me, you know, outside of really that, you know, at Memphis, they were really good early in the year. But, I mean, really outside that Missouri game, maybe the Florida game, I guess if you want to give them South Carolina, they've not been a great road team. And to me, it's hard to back them in the road, which is why I won't be backing them in the tournament. But I do think that they probably beat Kentucky because it is in Tennessee tomorrow. I don't know the line. I don't know anything about the game. I'm just saying, in Tennessee, it's hard not to back Tennessee.
You're absolutely right. I just think Kentucky's playing better ball right now.
They are. I agree with that. So we'll have to see what the line is tomorrow. I think if Kentucky is favored tomorrow, it would be hard for me to pass up Kentucky. If Tennessee is a 1-2 point favorite tomorrow, look out.
Okay. All right. I mentioned the 3 o'clock games. We got a couple of 3:30 games. Davidson won tonight. I watched them, and they're really good. They got a good little squad. They beat St. Joe's. they play St. Louis tomorrow. This is like a big Atlantic 10 game. I think Davidson's the best team in that conference, Dan. No line yet for this game. I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, again, it might just be too early because St. Louis only ended a few hours ago, so that might be the issue. You know, St. Louis lost to Davidson at home.
By one.
So that is, you know, that's kind of the history so far this year. I think St. Louis is on some sort of special run here. You know, Davidson has been good and bad. They find a way to cover, but they have been disappointing at times. St. Louis has been just impressive, really, the last few weeks, really since the start of March. Beat George Mason, beat Duquesne, lost to Bonnies at Bonnies. You know, that's fair. But, you know, last couple of games, we see them, beat Richmond. They didn't cover versus Richmond, but, you know, they beat Richmond. They crushed Dayton tonight. That wasn't even close. So hard for me to want to back Davidson. I do like Davidson. Like, I definitely think they're a better team. You know, do they beat St. Louis? You know, it's hard. I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago, they just lost at LaSalle. You know, they're very up and down. You know, they lost at UMass, too. So you're not exactly the best neutral court team, is what I would say. And they've only had to face St. Joe's so far on neutral court. I think St. Louis has a chance. We'll see what the line is tomorrow. But I just don't write off St. Louis yet. That's what I would say.
Let me give you a name. You know how in Tennessee I loved little Jordan Humphrey? I'm sorry, in Texas?
Yes.
In football? John Axel Gunvinson. I want to make sure I said that guy's name right. I watched him tonight. He was awesome. Yeah, Gunvinson on Davidson. John Axel Gunvinson. Just watch him, dude. He's nasty. And, like, sometimes one player can't take over a game. Just like that guy from Seton Hall. What's his name again?
Yeah, I mean,
that kid from Seton Hall, they did it again tonight, Dan.
I want you to go back and review the final 5 minutes.
I heard the refs got involved.
You should go back and watch the final 5 minutes of that game. I've gotten numerous tweets about that already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Marquette's on the list, dude. That's why they're on the list.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue when, you know, you're kind of getting screwed in every direction. No, that is what I will say. You know, it's not really their fault.
We did the greatest thing by staying away today.
I mean,
you will love it tomorrow.
I'm struggling right now. Yeah, so I mean, like,
you will thank yourself tomorrow that you stayed away.
I didn't stay away as much as I want to. That's why I'm still upset with myself. But have you seen a line for the Michigan Minnesota game?
No. How many times can we keep doubting Minnesota, though, right? You know, Patino-led team. They got a decent team. They do. Michigan State should roll these guys. 6.5, I bet you that line is.
Between Michigan? I bet – here's the thing. Minnesota just keeps fighting. And Minnesota played Michigan tough at Michigan this year. I know Michigan beat them at home by 9. You know, that was a – I remember that. That was like an 7-point spread or something. That was when – you know, Michigan was coming off a pretty bad loss, if I remember. And that was kind of like during their bad stretch. I'll have to take a look at it. They beat Maryland and Minnesota. So they lost to Penn State pretty badly the couple days before. So they had at least beat Maryland, you know, a couple days before that. But then they got crushed by Michigan State and whatever. Nonetheless, this is just like one of those. I don't trust Michigan. Like, I don't. I want to see what the spread is. I do.
I'm going to say 6.5.
Okay. 6.5. I'd take Minnesota. I would. I think of that number. And again, I have to look at it, obviously, and, you know, do the lift shots thing. But I just think that on that number, that's a Minnesota number. I will say, you know, it's in Chicago, Illinois. You know, it's closer to Michigan than it is Minnesota. So, you know, whatever. But I don't know.
Did you just say do the Lifshatz thing?
Yes. Yeah, like run the numbers. So that's what I've been told it to do the Lifshatz thing.
Where can we enter that as a segment on this podcast?
Jesus. Yeah, that's called the NHL, no? All the NHL players, wouldn't that be called doing the Lifshatz thing? I don't know. You tell me.
The Lifshatz.
Lovely. Here we go. We're going to get some music to it. I'm down. Just let me know what song.
We have an injury in the Oregon game. We mentioned Remy Martin.
Oh, okay.
He's back for Arizona State. Somebody's down for Oregon. But, Dan, we got a minute and 55 to go, and that one 33-26, a little bit more higher scoring than I thought.
Yeah. Me too. Interesting.
We'll see what happens in the second half there. Texas State, Georgia State. Like, isn't this a thing where Georgia State just always wins and goes to the tournament? Isn't that kind of like a thing?
Georgia State?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Texas State has been, like, a great
team. It's 24-8, though.
Yeah. I will say, you know, team split the series this year. You know, obviously, they've been pretty even in the Sun Belt all year. You know, I think this is going to be a very small spread, 2-2.5. I don't think this is going to be much. I don't really see an edge here on either side. I got to be honest with you. I'm probably not going to play this game. So I don't really have a ton of interest in this one. I don't have a great read on, you know, Georgia State. I think I've bet them twice this year and lost twice. Texas State I've been up and down with. I'm probably going to pass on that game.
Okay. Wichita State and Cincinnati. When I saw the Shockers were playing today, I'm like, oh, geez. The Shockers again. Like, they're always in it, man. And Cincinnati, I think we mean you both watched that Cincinnati game last week against, who was it when they went out, right? Houston.
Yep.
Cincinnati's a good team. They're one of the better teams in that conference. No line again on this one. 5 o'clock game, though. I hate going against Wichita in March.
I do, too. Cincinnati has rolled them twice this year, though. Hard to want to back Wichita. This is my last one, by the way, before I have to switch the board. And we'll just keep saying that this podcast just heads up.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the line is. I thought Wichita State escaped with the win versus Temple tonight. I didn't think they were very good for the part of the game I watched, which is not a surprise because I bet on them, so why would they be any good? But they did win. You know, to me, this has... I think Wichita is going to give them a good fight. As you said, Wichita is always a March team. I think Wichita is going to be give them a very good fight. This is not going to be some sort of blowout where Cincinnati rolls on them. You know, I do think that Cincinnati gets into the tournament regardless, so I don't think it's as important for them. So, you know, give me Wichita State, whatever the spread is. Just a rough, you know, read. Not without a number. I just don't think this is matters as much to Cincinnati as it does to Wichita State.
All right.
And I will let you continue from here.
Okay. We just recap Minnesota, Michigan, Texas State, Georgia State, Wichita versus Cincinnati. And I believe just going over today's scores, which, again, today was interesting, people. Today was a very interesting day as we kind of started out the podcast earlier. Just some weird beats out there, man. But, SMU lost to Cincinnati, 8 points in that one. And I'm just trying to pull up the Wichita State game. I saw it earlier. When I saw it today, I was like, oh, no. Wichita State in that one. Yeah, they beat Temple. Temple was a 2-point favorite today. Temple's been very good this year. Wichita State scored 45 points in the second half. 45 in the second half. So, just something to keep an eye on there when it comes to these two teams. And we only have a couple more games we'll break down. I'll see if there's anything this weekend in the NBA that we'll get to. Dan will have his hockey segment. And then, of course, we get your questions. And there are a ton of questions this week. A lot of questions, which we'll take it to the window coming up in just a bit here. You're listening to Over Under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm on Twitter at Joey Murr. He is at Dan Lifshatz or Dan underscore Lifshatz on Twitter. Our DMs are always open, so you can always DM us if we have the time. We'll certainly respond to you. One thing I will say is that whenever I post a play, I post fade or follow. Like, if you're going to give me shit, I'll block you. This isn't a debate. Hey, if you're going to fade me, that's fine. I don't care. But it's just like, oh, you're cold all of a sudden, huh? You hit a cold. Like, come on. We're all in this together to make money, man. Positivity. Positivity. That's why I stepped away from the table today. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was at the blackjack table. I had some money in my pocket. It was burning in my pocket. We lost, I don't know, 8 hands in a row. The dealer had 21 3 of those times. And I said, time to walk away from the table, everybody. And that's exactly what it did. Walked away from the table and saved money. And I think we both did that today. I think we're a little salty of a couple of the losses that we had today. And VCU, that was mine. Oof. Early on, man, I loved them. That Michigan State loss, bad. LSU, bad. And I'll tell you, if you had Duke tonight, that's a tough one. I mean, North Carolina is one of the best teams in the country. Getting 4 points, and everyone just overlooked it because of Zion Williamson. And a tip-in at the end, that's how Duke won 74-73. But that conference there, they deserve more teams in the tournament. They do. I know NC State's probably not a tournament team or Clemson or any of them, but they have to play those teams week in and week out. I'm interested to see what happens on Selection Sunday, which we are, what, 2 days away from Selection Sunday, and we got a bunch of games coming up tomorrow. The ones we're about to preview are Iowa State, Kansas. Seton Hall, again, winners tonight. They play Villanova. Buffalo plays another big game. The Florida State Duke, and then a couple other games mixed in there. So thank you for hanging in there, hanging tight with us. We appreciate everybody who listens to the podcast. Of course, it's not easy for us to do this together. Yeah, we work at the same radio station, but you know, we can't really do this when we're on the air. Plus, I'm on tomorrow, literally from like 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So if you're in the Boston area, I will be on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and you'll be able to call in if you have any questions on some of the games throughout the day. And we have 2 pro sports games on that station. One is the Boston Celtics, who play at 12:30 over at the Garden in Boston. And then they'll pick up all the parquet, and they'll switch it over for the Boston Bruins game. So we'll probably have a couple of plays on those 2 games tomorrow for those that will be listening, and of course for those Boston sports fans. So it's the Over Under 985 podcast. I'm Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. Are you back, Dan? I hear him. Do you hear Dan's footsteps? I can hear him. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on Iowa State, Kansas. And somehow, Kansas continues to win. I couldn't believe that they beat Texas. I thought Texas would give them a run for their money. Come to find out, the venue there, only like 20 miles from Kansas. So I think you'd consider that a home game for Kansas, I would think. And Iowa State's just been playing outstanding. Beat Kansas State today. They've been really good. I actually liked that team earlier this year. I played them against Xavier, like during one of those, like, the Aruba or Hawaii matchups around, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas time. But Iowa State's a team that can ball. And I don't know, tomorrow against Kansas, no line again. When are these lines coming out?
I don't know. It's going to be I'm back. it's going to be it's interesting that they haven't come up with any of these lines yet, huh? Like, yeah. I don't know why. By the way, Kansas, I have a theory for why Kansas is playing like well. At least, you know, whatever they cover tonight. They're playing in Kansas City. I know it's not Kansas. I know Kansas City is technically in Missouri, but like, I don't know. It feels like they're almost home. Like they're down the road. And so it feels like maybe they're getting a bigger home crowd than usual, I guess. And so I feel like maybe that's why Kansas is playing so well. I got to say, I was on Iowa State today. I didn't post it. I didn't, whatever. I was on Iowa State. Kansas State, to me, is an overrated road team. Despite the fact that I had an argument with some dude about this a couple weeks ago. Where he thinks like Kansas State's like a great road team. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Because they have like 1 top 25 win in KenPom. So anyways, I don't think they're great. I think Kansas is going to give them Iowa State is going to give them a really tough game tomorrow. I do. I don't know how you feel about it, Joe. I just remember Iowa State played them really tough in Kansas and then beat them at home. Like crushed them at home. Beat them by 17 at home. I think you're going to see Iowa State play a very good game tomorrow. Honestly, I don't know what the spread is, But if you see a low spread in that 3-4 area, to me, that is an Iowa State spread. That's a number right there. So I'm talking about betting numbers. So I'm telling you, let's see what the number is tomorrow. But I have a very good feeling about Iowa State tomorrow.
I said that while you were gone. Really like what they have to offer this year. Again, this game's not far from Kansas.
It's not.
You got to keep that in mind.
It's not, but even they even played them tough in Kansas. So I'm just putting that out there. That's all. That's all.
All right. That's a big one for tomorrow.
Did you talk about Texas Southern and Prairie View A&M? I know you were dying to talk about that one.
No.
Oh, man.
You mean Georgia Southern and Texas Arlington?
I'm talking about Texas Southern and Prairie View A&M.
I don't see that one on here.
That is the SWAC.
Oh, yeah.
SWAC final tomorrow. I don't know how you could possibly miss that, Joe. Riveting game. I mean, truly, truly riveting.
I got nothing.
Okay. Texas Southern lost at Prairie View.
Prairie View has won 10 in a row.
However, Prairie View got beat pretty badly. Texas Southern beat them by 5. Prairie View is almost home. They're in Birmingham tomorrow. Almost home. I don't know what the spread is. I will not have a play on that game, probably. So we'll see, but probably not.
Okay. Moving on from Dan's big time.
Hey, that is the SWAC final. Okay, big game, Joe. Relax, big game.
Georgia Southern, Texas Arlington. Don't care.
You don't want to talk about Georgia Southern, Texas Arlington. Fine, I will. Okay, there is no spread. I don't believe. Again,
Texas Arlington's won 4 in a row.
Okay, Texas Arlington's won 4 in a row. Georgia Southern beat them. Georgia Southern beat them at UT. And then they lost at home to UT. So kind of one of those split series, but kind of reverse. I do think that Georgia Southern has been the better road team for sure. You know, they've won a majority of their road games in conference, especially the last few, you know, at Louisiana, they lost to Monroe, but won at Coastal Carolina, at App State, you know, then they've won, you know, they won the neutral game. I lean Georgia Southern tomorrow.
God, these are degenerate special right here. But people love that stuff.
I mean, sometimes, again, that's where you find the best value, Joe.
Okay. Seton Hall, Villanova. The line's going to be 2, right? 3.5. I don't know. Villanova will be favored. You just sent this over to me, and I
it is so I watched it in the other room. I just, you know. I wanted to watch it, or, you know, watch the final few minutes. Let me put it like this. It's bad. It was bad. Seton Hall, Marquette got screwed. I mean, nuts and bolts, they got screwed. It was bad, dude.
But, like, can we keep saying that about Marquette, though?
Yeah, no. I promise you, you'll watch this. And you'll,
okay,
and you'll be like, oh, wow, this was bad. I don't have the stats in front of me, but they don't look pretty. I'll tell you that they do not look pretty. If you go and I think if you can probably pull up the game from like their schedule or whatever, I'll see if I can. Not pretty. Marquette got screwed in that game, 100% without a doubt in my mind. I'm just trying to find the actual team stats right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at the game free throw.
Seton Hall got 44 free throws. Marquette got 41 in the second half. Seton Hall got 18 more free throws than Marquette. So, I mean, that should tell you all you need to know. Not great.
That also happened in the Florida LSU game today.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, though, 30 foul calls on Seton Hall, 4 technicals. So, I mean, you know, whatever.
Powell again. Yep. He went on an 8-0 run in the second half again. He reminds me of James Harden. I don't know why, but that dude can just throw it up from anywhere.
So do you hear the thing? They have been hot ever since that Georgetown loss. They beat Marquette. They beat Nova. They murdered Georgetown, which we both thought that Georgetown was the side in that one. We both did. And then they beat Marquette again tonight. Do you back them to beat Nova tomorrow? Forget about the spread. Just outright. Yeah. Do you think they beat Nova tomorrow?
I do, because Nova is off an overtime game. Dude, Seton Hall has been the best team in the Big East over the last 2 weeks.
Agreed. I agree with that.
I never hear anyone.
How about this? The last month. Once before, the last month they've been. I mean, really, they lost on March 2nd to Georgetown, but ever since then, they've been, you know, since,
you know what's funny?
Since the start of March.
I backed them that day against Georgetown, and I lost. And I was like, what's up with this team? Like, every time I bet against them, I couldn't get on the right side with these guys. But, yeah, I'll tell you right now, like, 20-12, like, is that good enough? 9-9 in their conference, is that good enough to get into the tournament? Probably not, but they just keep knocking off top 25 teams. How does that go unnoticed?
Seton is not a tournament team, which makes me think that, you know, Villanova is a tournament team, but they're, like, on that, like, cusp of, like, almost not being a tournament team if they lose because it's just the Big East. But they'll make it in either way.
Well, like, you think Clemson's better than Seton Hall?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Do you think NC State is better than – do you think
Temple? I think Clemson is better. I think who was the second team? NC State? I think NC State is better. I would say Seton Hall is better than Temple.
There you go. Those teams are in the tournament right now.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it's the body of the work, you know? It's body of work. So it's hard. I mean, Seton has had some bad losses this year.
Oh, I just saw the play.
Yeah.
I'm watching it now.
Yeah, it's bad, right?
The point guard there. I think he got fouled in the final play of the game.
Yeah.
You know what's bad is he took the shot and his boy, the Doogie Howser brother, was wide open in the corner.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it didn't matter. But Seton Hall had that bad stretch this year at Marquette, at Providence, DePaul, and at Nova. Now, again, those are all good teams, but you got to get some sort of good win. Now, they beat Maryland at Maryland earlier in the year, they beat Kentucky at home. In overtime. Where do you value those wins? Maryland wasn't ranked at the time. You know, they lost all of their top 25 games except for Kentucky all year until they beat Marquette and Nova the last couple weeks. Where do you value those wins? You know, how do you value the home, you know, the home loss to Xavier, you know, the home loss to Louisville, losing at Nebraska, the home loss to St. Louis. So listen, I do think that, and they're a 9-9 team in the Big East. So I like Seton. I think they're a good team. Are they a tournament team? They're borderline. They're right there. So tomorrow should mean a lot to them. It should. Yep. There should be some added motivation.
I back Seton Hall in that matchup.
It almost feels like the refs want them to get in. It's so weird, dude. It just feels like the refs, like it feels like the Big East wants Seton in that tournament. I don't know what it is. It's just how I feel. So it's hard for me to bet against them.
Do you know that I almost bet Seton Hall? I almost bet Marquette's on the list for a reason, okay? But when I looked at it, I said, Marquette's playing so well, they're not going to lose. And they were up, dude.
I know. They blew the lead. I'm aware. I am not surprised.
And here's the deal. Somebody told me I complain about the refs too much. Do you think you complain about the refs too much?
I think I call the refs on what I believe them to be. I wouldn't say I complain about them because I accept the fact that, you know, things are not equal all the time. I accept
that fact. Like, I thought Clemson blew an 18-point lead, but at the same time,
they did.
They had a foul to give. They gave the foul. They didn't blow the whistle. And then they blew the whistle on a shooting play.
Yeah, no.
That's where I thought it was bullshit.
I agree. On those things, that is ref influence. I mean, here's the thing. I don't cry about it when I'm betting and when I lose a bet because I just, you know, then you should have taken care of business earlier, in my opinion. But I get it. Like, I totally get it. I think it's more than fair. So I do understand where you're coming from. Do I think you complain about the refs too much? No. I think that you happen to have some of the game. I think you happen to bet a lot more square teams than I do, which is just, we know that.
And
therefore, refs are more likely to go against your square teams than the teams I'm betting. And because of that, you're just going to have more of those really shitty beats because you are betting on the very square teams with a lot of money on them.
Today, the VCU had a chance to tie the game. Kid went up in the air and tried to get the foul instead of actually shooting the shot.
Should have been a foul.
They didn't call the foul. And I looked at the replay. Maybe it shouldn't have been. But like in fast, when you're watching that in real time, how do you not call that?
I thought that was a foul. When I saw it again, I didn't watch it live. But when I first saw the replay, I thought it was initially foul.
So normally you would think a team would want to back a team to force overtime, right? No.
No. Not when you have not when the beginning of the day. Not when you have like four games to play there.
Yeah. So they had to wait for some of these night games here.
Yep.
A couple more games just to get through it. Buffalo, 30-3. Again, we don't have a spread. I'm gonna say it's probably 8.5. They've had struggle covering the spreads, but they win every game. So I lay off Buffalo for now, but I think they win that. Unless you think Bowling Green beats them.
I think Bowling Green beats them tomorrow. I do. Okay. Bowling Green is basically at home in Cleveland. So, you know, basically at home. Let me rephrase. I don't know about beating them. They're definitely going to cover. That Buffalo spread is going to be 7-8. If it's like 6 or 5, you know what's happening. But, you know, that spread is 7-8. Bowling Green is going to cover. Buffalo on single-digit spreads this year is 2-6 against the spread. Yeah, they're just not a good, you know, either they blow teams out or they just, you know, they don't win or they don't cover. So in my opinion, this one's pretty easy to me. This is Bowling Green. This is a Bowling Green spot. This has Bowling Green written all over it. Buffalo is a superior team, but when they lost at Bowling Green earlier this year, I'm just, you know, they got their revenge. I just think that this is a good spot for them to go down. They do struggle on the road. All three of their losses are on the road. At Marquette, at Northern Illinois, at Bowling Green. I know this is technically a neutral site game, and they were very good versus Akron, but they barely beat Central Michigan today. Barely. 1-4. Central Michigan was very good in that game. I think that Bowling Green covers, depending on the spread. If it's, you know, 8-8, you know, 7-8, Bowling Green will cover. If it's like 5-6, look out, Bowling Green might win. So,
okay, that's just a couple of games to clean up quickly.
I gotta go switch over the board so you can finish those.
Okay,
off.
There's three more games left. And
we'll discuss, you know, those.
Okay, a couple more games left, and then we'll get to Florida State Duke, Eastern Washington versus Montana, ugh. Western Kentucky, Old Dominion got the win today, 1-point favorites. Woof. Figured they'd be favored by more than that against Western Kentucky. So right off the bat, and we talk about this all the time, but like sometimes just looking at a line, oh my God, the public's going to be all over Old Dominion at 1 tomorrow. Makes me think Western Kentucky right off the bat. Old Dominion's a better team, if you ask me. 25-8 this year, 8-2 in their last 10 games. One thing about Western Kentucky, 6-3 against the spread in their last 9 games. So keep that in mind in that one. And then New Orleans and Abilene Christian. New Orleans has been playing much better basketball lately. I've been seeing them win games. Abilene Christian is the big favorite. Well, they probably will be the favorite in this one. They're 26-6 on the year. And again, this is a big game to go to the conference tournament game to get into the big dance. So that's one game to keep an eye on. And then, of course, we get the Florida State Duke game. That's coming up that we'll preview here. And I'm going to guess Duke's about 4.5-point favorite in that one. I'm guessing. We don't have a line yet. Zion makes a huge impact. Like, they're a completely different team. I think they struggled a little bit today to get going, though, with Zion back in the mix. I think they struggled just a little bit to get going there, but with him in the lineup, they're probably the best team in the country. It's hard for me to say that Duke is not the best team in the country. I still like Gonzaga. I know they lost the other night, and they're going to be wondering if they're going to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed after losing to St. Mary's. Like, if Kentucky wins the SEC, I think they're a 1. But Gonzaga, if they are 2, they might be able to run the whole damn thing. If they can be a 2, because 1, I do think their body of work for the season, they could be gifted a number 1 seed. And we got to see how some of these tournament teams, like Michigan State, if they end up running the table, are they a 1? See, I feel like teams, if you're going to be a 1, you got to win your conference. That's just the way I look at it when it comes to those teams. So just a few more games when it comes to college basketball tomorrow. And on Sunday, I know there'll be a few more games, most of the championship games yet. We don't have any lines on those just yet, but we'll certainly keep you posted. Once everything comes over, I'll hit refresh one more time just to make sure we get the current lines here. But it is over under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz alongside as well. We have to record this. I'm at home. He's at the studio. He's working his his shift there. So we, you know, we have, it's the only time to do it. And plus we like doing it on Friday nights because we actually get the lines for the weekend. We haven't made any PPs yet. So I got nothing yet as far as a podcast play, but we just discussed every single game. So, you know, if you're going to tweet at us tomorrow, hey guys, what do you think? Like, listen to the podcast. So I might not post any plays tomorrow because I want people to listen to the podcast. You know, we're not some service. Hey, for $9.99, you can get the Bankroll Boys picks. Hell, I'd love to do that to make some real dough instead of working at my cube all day. Be fantastic to give out some picks and make a little bit of dough. But who wants to go tout? No, that's a whole different story if you know people that have done that. But again, it's the Over Under 985 podcast. We are rolling right here through the night. And I got this Oregon-Arizona State game run right now. 16 minutes to go. Arizona State's making a big comeback. They're about to tie the game if they hit a free throw. It'll be 37-all. Oregon was up at one point, like 15 points. So big game here for both these teams as they come down here in the Pac-12, which is just another conference I have yet to be able to figure out, the Pac-12. Just can't figure it out. And Arizona State is a great rebounding team. Just going to keep that, throw that out there for you. But I'm interested to see what Dan's thoughts are on this Duke game that's coming up in just a little, that's coming up tomorrow night, 8:30. So clear your schedules tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m., Duke, Florida State. Florida State, as I mentioned, they get some of the best recruits. I mean, how many of these guys just get into the NBA from here? I know the kid from Orlando, he's been doing pretty decent since he's gotten into the league, but they just recruit pure talent. They play nine deep. They have guys that were all Americans that don't even get playing time on that team because they go so long. I don't know if Florida State can keep it up, but they have the bigs to compete with Duke for tomorrow. They certainly have the bigs to do so. A couple big seven-footers. And I think they might be able to maybe keep Zion and his power game off the boards. Dan, we're talking Florida State, Duke. Any thoughts on a line?
What is the line?
No, it's all, nothing right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's see.
I said 3.5, 4.5. But who knows? It could be 7 or 8.
By the way, it looks like lines are starting to go up. Just giving you a heads up. So we may have lines actually before the end of this segment. Looks like lines are starting to go up. In my opinion, it really depends on what you think the spread is. I mean, what did you say?
I said 3.5, 4.5. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's 7.
Okay, what side did you like?
Well, I think Duke should be favored in this one. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, Duke, in my opinion, is the best team in the country.
Well, it's not even that. Just Florida State's won two games. I mean, they just beat Virginia, which was upset.
In overtime.
But the game before that, and Remy Martin's back and just hit a three to put Arizona State up. Yep. You know, that game... Who they play that they hit the three at the end of the game there to
Virginia but like, Tech.
Yeah, they're now back to back games and they got Virginia. So I just think that's a tough matchup for them. Like Syracuse.
Here's the other thing.
Syracuse, UNC, Florida State.
You want to know where that game is in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. So you know there's going to be a crap ton of Duke fans there. I think Duke is going to beat the bag out of them. I mean, maybe that's just me. I think Duke is going to crush them. I think Duke had their tough game tonight. I think tomorrow they'll rally, and I think they'll probably beat the bag out of whoever they played. You know, I do. And so we'll see. I think the line will probably be Duke 7-8, somewhere around there. I think Duke covers that line pretty easily. We'll see. I think Duke will be the ACC tournament championship. They'll get a one seed. It's important for them to win this game if they want a number one seed, so it does matter to them. You know, I do think that this is going to be a game where Zion is going to be dominant. They don't really have a guy who can really match up against Zion all game. It's going to be tough. They have good depth. We talked about earlier, Florida State goes deep. They go 9-10 deep every game almost. It's going to be tough. To me, Duke is the side you back. We backed UNC tonight. Might probably go Duke tomorrow.
Dude, you hear that one?
Bless you. Yeah, nice bet there. Did we get on to Western Kentucky Old Dominion?
So I mentioned that Old Dominion's minus one, and people are going to jump all over that, which makes me off the bat, even though I think Old Dominion's a better team. I think that line screams Western Kentucky.
Yeah, I agree. It does for me, too. Western Kentucky lost them twice, but played them tough, and both games were at Old Dominion. They lost by Old Dominion by three, then at Old Dominion by four. Two tough road losses, but this game is not at Old Dominion, which is a nice thing. Western Kentucky, I think, is the right side as well, Joe. I'm going to be probably on Western Kentucky tomorrow.
Okay, and I didn't really get any Eastern Washington, Montana, or New Orleans, Abilene Christian, because I'm not betting them.
Okay, well, let's see. I'll dig into those for you guys. Eastern Washington, they beat Montana earlier this year and then barely lost to them at home. They're going to be disrespected in the line tomorrow. Montana's going to be favorite. I'm telling you right now, Eastern Washington is going to win that game. So, in my opinion, that is going to be an Eastern Washington win. I think Eastern Washington beats Montana. I think Montana's been severely overrated. Most of the year, we actually bet against them a couple weeks ago with Portland State, and Portland State outright beat them. A lot of their wins have been good. They did beat Eastern Washington again at home by one, but they lost Eastern Washington on the road. I think neutral site, Eastern Washington is just the better team against them, and I think you'll see a very good dogfight. I'm not sure what that spread's going to be. If that spread gets to 3.5, 4, I'm going to be on that pretty heavy tomorrow. To me, that's one I have been eyeing. And in New Orleans, Abilene didn't even deserve to win tonight. They barely escaped Southeastern Louisiana. New Orleans, to be fair, they've been a good team. They haven't been great. They've been good, you know? They lost early in the year to Abilene, haven't played them since. Without a line, we're really not going to know much about that game. We'd really have to see the line to make a determination there. Abilene's the better team without a doubt, but New Orleans has made a very, very strong run. I had them last night versus Lamar in that plus four. They outbeat them outright. Then they beat Sam Houston State, who has been one of the best cover teams in all college basketball this year. You know, those are two very good teams. In my opinion, they've been very impressive this year. I like them. Tomorrow versus Abilene Christian, but again, we'll have to see what the spread is. You know, there's really not much that you can do there. But again, I think that there are going to be some very good spots to bet tomorrow, Joe. I think we kind of discussed them. In my opinion, Florida, good spot. I think Yale is a good spot. Minnesota, depending on the line, I think it could be good. Iowa State, again, also depending on the line. Bowling Green, I like a lot. Eastern Washington and even Western Kentucky. And there's still four games that we haven't even looked at. San Diego State will be playing someone in the Mountain West Final, I assume, since Fresno is getting killed. It will not be Fresno. I don't even know. You know, I don't even know what the score of that game is. I really don't want to know. But I assume that will be Utah State. Taking a look at San Diego, Utah State, Joe. And I'll just kind of give you a preview here because we're gonna assume that Fresno is gonna lose. Utah State dominated San Diego State.
I would say that they're deserving of being conference champions.
Ooh, Utah State or San Diego State?
Utah State. So because San Diego State's been in it every year.
Well, San Diego State beat them at home this year, and it's been very, very good home team. Utah State, on the road, when they faced Utah State buried them by 16. So San Diego State, for whatever reason, just has this thing where they can just beat Nevada. I don't know what it is. They hold Nevada defensively. It's the second time they beat them this year. Extremely impressive, to be honest with you. And so I don't know. I really don't know what to expect out of San Diego State tomorrow. But, I mean, honestly, if Utah State plays the way that they're playing now, no one's going to beat them. I mean, really, they're dominant tonight. They are.
All right. That's all I got for college hoops, man. Anything else from you?
Well, do you want to preview just the Pac-12? Because it's the final tomorrow. It's going to be Washington versus Oregon or Arizona State. Any thoughts?
I mean, Washington was the top team, right?
Yeah.
They don't impress me, though.
Well, they lost at home to Oregon just a couple weeks ago. You know, they barely beat Colorado today. after they're being up on them big.
So I thought Colorado was on a run. Like Me they too. Looked like a quality team.
Me too. And they yeah. are. I mean, they lost by five. You know, it's not like they got blown out. But, you know, Colorado lost to them today. They barely you know, beat Colorado by five after they were up big on Colorado. They barely beat USC. They beat UW Washington, beat USC by three. They lost to Oregon, you know, the Saturday before. In my opinion, I think there's a good chance that Arizona, you know, they already lost at Arizona State this year. I think you'll see a ton of people on Washington tomorrow. I think the winner, the Oregon-Arizona State game, is going to be the winner of the Pac-12. That's my opinion.
Arizona State is now taking a 4-point lead.
Well, that's good to hear because I was on Fresno State, and so at least those bets will pretty much cancel each other out.
Yep, 5-point lead now for Arizona State. And
lovely.
The whistles are out in that game, by the way. I think we were leaning under early on.
Yes.
I think the whistles have come out.
Nah, no, so. Again, not a surprise when it comes to college basketball, especially around this time of the year, to be honest with you.
So I'll be, again, I've kind of been off the NBA for a little bit here. Just a little matinee tomorrow. Celtics, should they be 10-point favorites against anyone?
They opened at 12. So wow. It tells you where the sharps were early. They opened at 12, already down to 10. In my opinion,
probably Celtics.
The Celtics were 8.5-point favorites versus the Kings. I was surprised that the spread was that high. And then, you know, Sacramento still covered. The Celtics cannot cover against anyone right now. I think that their legitimate last cover was like, I don't know, Washington? I can't remember another game that they've covered recently. So it's hard for me to back the Celtics right now. Really. I mean, it really is. Just against the spread. Doesn't mean they're not going to win. It's hard for me to back them against the spread. So, I don't know. That's tough to me. In my opinion, Atlanta has been a terrible team. But Boston, 10.5, it's really a toss-up. I mean, really, you're asking for a toss-up spread there, in my opinion. You know, I know tomorrow there's going to be some really terrible games. For instance, Phoenix opens as a 1-point dog at New Orleans tomorrow. So, weird line at New Orleans. I don't even know if they care about their season anymore. I think Phoenix is an interesting look there. Portland, San Antonio. Portland won at New Orleans tonight. And they're going on the road for San Antonio, who just had a big win the other night. That will be an interesting one. And then Dallas, who's a great home team always and forever, this year at least, 6.5-point favorites versus the Cavs. That seems very low. That seems very low, Joe. So to me, that's going to be interesting. And then Denver, 7.5-point favorites versus Indiana tomorrow. I like Denver. I think Denver will cover that 7.5 versus Indiana. I think that's a very good spot for Denver. And Brooklyn. Brooklyn is going to be, you know, Brooklyn's plus 8.5 tomorrow night. Utah's been playing very well recently. Utah and the over there, over 221. I like in that, at least I like personally in that spot. By the way, the Celtics Hawks over 231.5 tomorrow. Mm. High over. A lot of people already.
Yeah, it's a matinee game too.
Yeah, 12:35. That's not even a 1 o'clock game. That's a 12:35 game.
I don't even know if Aaron Baines has stopped drinking yet.
We'll see. But with no line for Golden State, Oklahoma City, which is the crown jewel of tomorrow, unfortunately. Yeah. I expect Oklahoma City, Golden State to be a 1 or 2 point favorite, though.
And after that big win the other night without Durant, I don't know. I don't know.
I would lean Oklahoma City in that game. I would. They need that win. Russ is going to be fired up out of all the Jazz stuff. And I know that was a couple days ago, but still, you feed off that emotion as a player. You find a way to back that.
Can I give you a weird rant?
Yes, sir.
How do the Boston Celtics not play on St. Patrick's Day?
That is an interesting one. I didn't even thought about that.
The damn Irish don't even play on St. Patrick's Day.
That is weird. That's weird.
That should be like an every year thing.
Agreed. Why the hell did they not do that?
You play at noon, you go to the game, and then you go to Doyle's or some local bar after.
You know what? Maybe they're just scared of everyone being too freaking drunk.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Are the Bruins playing?
You know, maybe the Southie Parade just takes over.
I mean, yeah, that's true. The Southie Parade is. I mean, I'll be in Southie on Sunday. So, I mean, I get it. I do. you know, it's one of the, it is one of those things. Maybe it's just hard to, like, you know, Southie Parade, hard to get through Boston. I don't know. I don't know.
Dan is a Jewish kid from a suburban town. He celebrates every holiday.
Well, define every holiday.
Well, you get your hands on every holiday.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have a Christian fiance, so, you know, yeah. I do all that crap, and I don't really care about, you know, the Jewish holidays.
You get your hand in on every holiday.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes
I don't.
You got to dabble a little bit, you know? You got to dabble, play a little around. Plus, my birthday is Sunday, so it's like, you know,
right.
I'm kind of in that holiday without, you know, my birthday doesn't really matter, which is I'm kind of cool with, because I don't really give a crap about my birthday. I've never been one of those, like, oh, look at me, birthday guys. I don't really care. So, you know, I'm cool with, like, you know, I go out to dinner, have, like, a, you know, a good steak or something. Like, that's my birthday, and that's cool with me. I'll have, like, Saturday night, whatever.
That's what I did this week for my birthday.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you need. You know, once you turn 21, I feel like after that, it's like, who gives a shit, honestly. So.
All right, Dan. Well, that's all I got, man, for the NBA. You can handle the hockey stuff on your own time.
Yeah, do that on my own time.
Well, we got a ton of questions, though, this week, right?
Yes, we do.
All right, so we're going to take it to the window. It's over under 985. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll take it to the window with your questions coming up next on Over Under 985.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 985thesportshub.com.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports league that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich. All right, welcome back to Over Under 985, the podcast. Thank you once again for listening, guys. We appreciate it. This week's episode is long, so I do understand if you want to skip around. If you have guys, maybe you don't want to listen to the whole thing at first, you just want to listen to some part. You can always find the details on our iTunes page. They're also listed online in the page that we give out, the link that we give out that's not iTunes as well. So if you have any questions, you can listen there. I know we haven't said it as much this podcast, but we will have a Monday podcast just for college basketball regarding March Madness. We'll discuss futures and everything kind of in that line, and we'll kind of go over that. Okay, so after that, let's move on to hockey. We do have some plays this week. I'll tell you this. I cut the card significantly. Excuse me. I cut the card significantly this week. The reason why? Well, we did okay this week. We finished up really strong. We finished up 3-0. We didn't play them, but we would have finished up 3-0 and 2-0. We finished up 5-0 this week. We were very eh. I think we were like 1-2 on Saturday. Honestly, I don't remember. But hockey this weekend was not good. And Hockey Monday was not good. So let's just call it as it is. It was not good. And that's okay. You know, you're not going to be great every week, but we have to own it when we're not good. So I will own it when we're not good. We finished strong. This week did finish very strong. And so I do feel confident. I adjusted a few things, a little tinkering, but nothing big. So I do want to go back. This week we're going to play a bit more. We're going to play a few more unders than we normally do. We don't have a lot of money lines this week. There weren't a lot of money line spots that I liked. I also know that I said there was a 14 parlay Saturday I didn't think would hit. Ended up hitting. If you took it, awesome. If you took a round robin on it, that's what I suggested. You did very well. So, anyways, let us move on to this week. We are first off on Saturday. So we opened the college. It's been a rough night for me. I am very tired and I apologize. I'm just stuttering all over the place. It has been a long week. So let's open up the Saturday hockey card. Okay. We have the Bruins and the Columbus Blue Jackets. The line for this is not yet up. So I am waiting on the line for this, but, this one did go over earlier this week. These two teams did meet up. I believe it was earlier this week. They did go over. We did not play it. The over-under in that game was 6. So why don't we hold it there? Bruins, Jackets, this would be the smallest play that we have, by the way, out of any of them, probably smallest play that we have. I will double-check it tomorrow. Maybe we'll move it to a regular play, but this will be a small play for right now. Bruins, Jackets, over, must be at 6, 6.5. At 6.5, we'll play it regular. If it's at 6, maybe we'll play it small. I think that's probably how we'll define it this week. So Bruins, Columbus Blue Jackets, Saturday night. If it is at over under 6, we'll play it small. If it's at over under 6.5, we will play it as a regular unit. Okay. Again, small half a unit plays and regular full unit plays. And all PPs will, from now on in this podcast, for me, at least in the hockey, from now on, all PPs will be 1.5 unit plays. So slightly larger than the regular play. And I just think that makes it a little bit better. For everyone who wants to differentiate between the PPs and the non-PPs, we'll have a small, we'll have a regular, we'll have a PP. Small will be half a unit, regular will be a full unit, PP will be 1.5 units, okay? If you have any questions about that, feel free to DM me, but pretty simple, okay? Later on Saturday, so that's the first game, Bruins and Columbus. Again, at 6, we're playing a half unit. At 6.5, we're playing 1 unit. Again, it must be over. Bruins and Columbus Jackets over. Must be over 6 or 6.5. All right, we were moving on to the Sharks and Predators. This is also Saturday night. Okay. This one is going to be an over as well. Now, we have the line out. It's at 6. I feel pretty good about this. It's not a PP, but it's pretty good. Sharks, Predators, the line is already out. The over-under will be 6. We will be playing that. The over right now is at minus 110. Under is at minus 110. Juice is fine. If it gets juiced up, great, whatever. Again, over-under 6, minus 110. We will be playing that tomorrow, okay? You do not need to DM me about that unless you have a question about it for whatever reason. So, that is tomorrow, right? That is... For whatever reason, I don't know why it's labeling it as Friday. It should label it as Saturday. So those are Saturday's plays. I'm trying to figure out why it's still labeling it as Saturday. There we go. It's not labeling it as Saturday. Just needed to fix and refresh today. So that is Saturday. Sunday, we have the Sabres and the Blues. Okay. This one is going to be an underplay. And I would really like this line set at 5, preferably. If it's not, 5.5 is still a play. It's not going to be a PP, but we'll see. I may upgrade it to a PP. Let me think about it. I do like it, but definitely we're going to play it as long as the over-under is at 5.5 or 5. Okay? So that's pretty simple. That is on Sunday. That is the Sabres Blues under 5.5 or under 5. Moving on to Monday, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Arizona Coyotes. So I wanted to highlight this play. This is not a play or something I would normally play. However, this does somewhat qualify for my system. Not totally, but a good portion of it, okay? I think, and this is going to be pretty hard, I think we should talk about maybe playing a small play on the Coyotes +1.5. Now, I've not made a final determination on this. Feel free. Again, you don't really need to DM me because I promise you I will always make a post on the hockey. Even if it's 5 o'clock, I understand I haven't posted. Sometimes I'm just busy doing stuff. I'm doing other capping, whatever. You don't need to DM me and ask me a million times. I promise you'll get it out if you really feel free to DM me. If you really want to DM me, you can. I may not answer. Just understand I may just tell you posted because, you know, I get, you know, a million DMs a day. So just kind of want to let you know that. But I do like the Coyotes +1.5 in that game. I'm just going to throw that out there. If we bet that, that will be that. You know, that will be the smallest play. So that is a small play. If we do proceed with that. Also on Monday, we have the Blackhawks Canucks. That line must be at 6.5 or 7. We are playing the over in the Blackhawks Canucks again. That line must be at 6.5 or 7. Also in that game, the Canucks team total, if it's at 2.5 or 3.5, we'll discuss it 3.5. If the Canucks team total is at 2.5, that will absolutely be a play. 3.5, it's close. It's right on the cusp right there. We'll discuss it. We'll talk about it. But I like the over in that one must be at 6.5. And again, the team total for the Canucks. Again, I also think that depending on the spot, maybe we'll play Canucks money line. I like the Canucks to score a bunch versus the Blackhawks and do that. So I will definitely post about what we're doing that, but you will be all over that game on Monday. The Canucks in the money line or the team total or the over, we'll certainly discuss. Again, not a PP, just a regular play, but we'll call it an over for right now. We may switch the over to a team total. We may switch the over to a money line. Let's see the line. I will discuss it, but we'll most likely be playing something on that Monday. Okay. So again, Monday will be the Coyotes +1.5 small, and the Blackhawks Canucks, we will play something in that game. Every which way, that one looks very good to me. We have our first PP on Tuesday, Rangers and the Red Wings. Assuming that the line is at under 5.5, okay? The line, again, must be under 5.5. Anything over 5.5, we will not be playing. So, again, so this must be at 5.5. You know what? We'll play it at 6. It won't be a PP at 6. We'll play it at 6. 5.5, though, is a PP. At 6, we'll do a regular play. Rangers, Red Wings, under 5.5 is a PP. Under 6 is just a regular unit play. At 6.5, we will not be playing. You don't need to ask me about that one. Pretty straightforward. Okay. Until Wednesday, we have the Buffalo Sabres and the Toronto Maple Leafs. We actually played this matchup a couple weeks ago. We played the Leafs puck line. Well, we are going to play it again. Leafs will be on the road. I assume that is the case. You know, I assume that. So we will probably be playing Leafs puck line. Feel free to ask me about this one again. I will always, of course, post about it, yada, yada, yada. But we may be playing the Leafs puck line again. That is another regular play. That's on Wednesday. And Thursday, we have our final play. And I literally like this one as well. So this is also one that I like. The King Sharks under 5.5 or 6. It is a PP either way. It's my favorite play of the week. So we would go under 5.5 or 6 for the Sharks Kings PP. So it's at 5.5. I really like it. That will definitely be a PP. Maybe we'll move that to a large one. That just is a great spot for an under. If it's at 6, we'll still make it a PP. So again, that is the hockey segment we have this week. You know, we have a bunch of plays. Not too many. Again, we don't go to Fridays. I will be in Vegas next week. So there will be no podcast next week, except on Monday. We'll podcast on Monday. There will be no hockey plays or anything in the podcast for next week. So I'm just kind of giving you guys a heads up. No podcast next week. We will do one on Monday. So unfortunately, that's just kind of the way we are going to have to do it this week, because I will be in Vegas until next Tuesday. And so that's kind of the way things will be. I'm flying back on Tuesday, and I will be, it's going to be a long trip. A lot of fun, though. A lot of business trip. I will try and give out some hockey plays when I'm out there. I just don't know how much time I'm going to have the cap. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. You know, I will certainly see what I can do about getting you guys some plays. I just don't know. I want to give you a heads up. So, again, coming back on Tuesday from Vegas. And I will give out some hockey plays, or try and give out some hockey plays for that weekend if I have some time to get in my room and do my stuff. Any questions, feel free to let me know. All right, guys, have a good rest of your week. Again, any questions about hockey or anything, feel free to DM me. But, yeah, and again, obviously, no Joe, the segment. This is just me when it comes to hockey. So, again, you are listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find our podcast on literally everything at this point. iTunes, Google Play, 985 The Sports Hub, 985 The Podcast, 985 The Sports Hub app. You can also find us on Spotify or any other place that podcasts are played.
Brady Fields, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play. Brady stands and lobs the throw to Gronkowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch.
Brady takes the snap. Shotgun snap to Brady.
Fires down the middle. Throw to Gronkowski.
Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dog in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, 6-time champion.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Mm-hmm.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over, under 98.5.
Over, under 98.5, your questions. I saw lots of them this week, and I'm sure Dan has them all procured and ready to go.
We have a lot. We have a lot of questions.
All right. Let's do it.
All right.
Can we do this in 5 minutes or not?
No. Okay. You trying to kill this in 5 minutes?
No, we can. I just don't know when your next break is.
I gotta cut in a few minutes. I guess we can stop and restart again if we have to. It's whatever. You know, I have a lot of editing to do with this one anyways, right? So, what is the difference? From our buddy Jeff, what is your strategy for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament? I think this is probably maybe sort of something we should discuss on Monday. Maybe kind of get into that. But in my opinion, again, it's going to be one of those things where people care about seeds and look at the seeds. So, you know, a lot of people have been on the 12 because they, you know, they upset the 5. So people care more about seeds than they actually do the numbers or the teams. And to me, it's a bad betting strategy. You have anything to add for that?
Yeah, actually, people have write-ups about, it's this matchup versus that, and this is what the spread is against these two, without even looking at the team. You're right. And, you know, it's fine to go by that. Like, I would only do that if you really are torn on a side, you know?
I agree.
But for the most part, though, like, I don't know. Watch out for some teams. I think Northeastern's pretty good. I'm interested to see how, like, they make it. Colgate had a great year. Like, all these teams are going to be in the tournament. They're going to be, like, you know, I don't know if anybody will knock anyone off like last year, but I think if there is a year to do it, there are some pretty good at-large teams that could do so.
I agree. I mean, we're not going to see a 16 over 1, most likely. I think that the ones this year are going to be relatively solid. Again, Virginia's problem, they can't score, but they're much better at scoring this year than they were last year. So I think that, you know, that's a significant upgrade there. So I think that we'll see, we'll definitely see that, in my opinion. I think we'll leave the rest for Monday. Fair?
Fair enough.
Okay. The question number two, not a question, actually, buddy Skip wants to let us know that we helped him pay for LASIK. So he booked that. And again, that was part of the questions. So he let us know we helped him pay for LASIK. He booked it. All right, so Mark.
What do you call 888 Laser? Boston Laser?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who do you call? We got sponsors.
Yeah, okay. So Joe,
sponsor us.
Joe, this is being a little critical of you, so I think that this is more than fair of you to answer. Okay.
Okay.
From a buddy, Mark, love the podcast, listen every week. I compliment Dan regularly. Okay, lovely, thank you. I'm not a hater. Maybe a dumb question. I would like to follow Joe, too, but he posts 2 minutes or even after the game time, so it's impossible to follow. I don't understand why. You don't owe me anything. Just wondering. I suck at Twitter, so if you have the answer for this and I don't know where to look, I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, I try to get the best line before the game. I don't have to give out picks.
Right.
But I do post them, so you can. Some people tell me they have alerts on their phone and they post them.
Yeah, in my opinion, like, you can, in my opinion, and... You can get, you know, Joe can post a play. Even if you don't get the beginning line, you can still get a live line. And the live line is usually better. You know, unless the team starts out, you know, blazing hot, usually you can get a live line. So, in my opinion, even if it is the case, which it's really not, because, I mean, you were like 45 minutes before game time today and yesterday and sucked. Whatever, you know.
And everything sucked.
Well, you were pretty good yesterday. Today sucked, but, you know, that was for both of us. And we're going to have bad days. We're going to take them with the good. We're going to have more good than bad. And that's, you know, that's all that matters. So, all right. So we have a couple questions from last week, Joe, that we never got to. I said we would get to. So we are going to try and get a few of those. Are you ready for those?
Yes.
All right. So if there's anything the double, we'll move on. Huge fan. This is from Tom. Huge fan. I need a segment talking Game of Thrones odds. I'm a huge Cersei fan, bad bitch, ruthless, but I've heard new theories about Jaime and they're very convincing. Thoughts?
Yes. You know, April 14th is when that's happening, Dan.
So baseball season, which is when there's nothing to talk about.
We're going to wait on that. I'll just throw this one out there. There is odds on who the ruler of Westeros will be.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
It changes all the time. Like, One week it's Bran. One week it's Jon Snow. One week it's, you know, Cersei or whatever. But Littlefinger was added. Littlefinger's dead.
Saw that.
How the hell is he added?
Interesting.
So makes me think that he's a faceless man.
Interesting. Interesting. Or maybe Arya becomes Littlefinger and just, you know.
Ooh,
you know, I'm just saying. All right, let's move on. That is for baseball
See,
season.
That's a whole show.
That is a whole, that's like a 25-minute to 30-minute segment, at least.
Like, I just saw who's going to be the first to die. Euron is the favorite.
All right, so I have to go switch over the board. So I'll give you a 2-minute break.
Hey, give me a question before you go.
Okay, fine. Let's give you a question before you go. All right. Okay, here we go. Hey, guys, thanks for making my life much more entertaining the last few weeks since I started to follow. You made me a ton of money. I've had a question. I understand not all books are the same, but when you guys tweet out live picks, my spread total is often half a point off from yours. What does this mean? You want me to buy that point myself, or are books just different? Thank you.
All right, Dan, go.
I will return.
I will answer this, okay? Some people go through a local. Some people go through Bovada. Some people go through MyBookie. Some people go through here, there. All lines are going to be different. And especially if you go through a local and you're betting a certain team, the locals know who people are betting on. So they're going to juice up the line a little bit. The other thing sometimes is if I get a line that's like 3.5, I'll buy it to 3, but I'll mention that it's 120 in juice. So every book's different. You got to shop around. People get pissed at me because I wait until before the tip off to put in a bet. Do you know why I wait until tip off? Because I get the best bet. I get the best line. I also like to follow line movement, especially with totals. I wish I can give you an example of some. What moved today? LSU moved a couple of times from 3.5 to 4, back to 3.5. They ended up losing the game, but like you could tell money was coming in on both sides. That's just one thing I like to do. But every book is absolutely different. There will be time, and I also grab things early in the morning. So, for instance, last week there was a Wisconsin game that went into overtime. And in that game, most people had it at 4.5, some had it at 5. I got it at 3 at 9 a.m. So, you know, 1.5 or whatever. It's that's a big difference in there. So, but sometimes it's good to have two books. Like I go through a local and then I'll go on Bovada. I'll go through my local. I'll look at Bovada and then I'll look at my bookie. There's so many different lines that you can get. I buy points. I just think it's worth it sometimes. Like if a team's 1.5, why lose by the hook? If a team's 3, why not buy it up to another hook? So if you do lose by 3, especially in football, I always take a team. If they are 3, I'll bet them to 2 just in case there's that 2-point conversion, you know, in football or anything like that. Some teams need to win by 2 if it goes into overtime. So I have a lot of strategies, but really it comes down to teams. Who do I like? What's the matchup? What's the line? That's really how it works out. But it is funny. I'll post a line and someone's like 4.5. And I just say, your book sucks. That's what I say. Yeah. If you have pretty much a different line than me. Again, it's the Over Under 985 podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Livshantz. We're wrapping up the podcast in a minute here where we've taken it to the window. We've answered your question. Someone just sent one in on Game of Thrones and who the ruler of Westeros will be. I definitely have my my opinions on that. I'll open up my little box right here. Somebody's asked me about hedging out of games. And I do this a lot. So, for example, if the over looks like it's going to happen in the game, I might bet something second half to watch the bet out. If the team I have is losing and they're getting... UCF, for example, today, I had UCF to win. And second half, UCF was favored. It was a 10-point game. Memphis was getting 5 points. I took Memphis second half. I'm like, there's no way UCF's coming back in this game. They're going to get hose, and they did. So that's a way that I hedge out of a lot of hedge off a lot of stuff. Someone sent me one earlier today. There are different people that give out picks. A lot of these people print money, and the reason for that is they go by line movement. how much do you look at line movement when it comes to a game? For me, it's often. Again, I mentioned that LSU game today. When the lines move, I feel like a lot of people are on it, and it smells a little fishy to me.
Okay. So I'm back.
You're back. Have you been listening to me talk here?
I've not.
So somebody asked a question about line movement, and I was just mentioning how sometimes of late it seemed a little fishy whenever there's line movement.
So basically... here's what are we still on the Connor question or the
no, I moved on.
Okay. So I just want to answer that question for me. In my opinion, you just have a bad book. You have a book that doesn't, you know, that isn't giving you good lines or is constantly giving you worse lines. I mean, that happens all the time. So, I mean, in my opinion, this is why you need to have multiple books when you become, you know, once you start having building a bankroll to get the best line. And these lines move quick some places. So I know it can be frustrating. I'm not telling you to buy the half point. Usually the half point really doesn't matter. I think we've had maybe one bet in the last, I don't know, couple of months that has really mattered. That was like one game I put out. I think the last time I think I've had one game that really mattered by 1 point or half a point or whatever. So I just, you know, it really doesn't matter that much. But I do understand the frustration, but I mean, that's kind of the whole point of having multiple books. In terms of line movement, I mean, really, it's not really a question. Line movement can happen for all sorts of different reasons. You know, it can be a sharp move, it can be a public move. You know, usually the sharp moves are very evident and on a non-public or big favorite, very clear totals mostly. And public moves, you know, big favorites. You know, Duke moved from 2.5 to 4.5 tonight. But, you know, the 2.5 was clearly the correct line. So, wow, correct line.
Hey, Dan, can I point something out?
Go ahead.
They just identified the Nike co-owner in the Oregon-Arizona State games. I'm sure you know he went to Oregon.
Yep.
I feel like that's going to have an effect at this game. I'm crazy. There's 9 minutes to go. It's 53-51 Arizona State at Oregon's ball. So I just want to mention that moment. And if you find out Oregon wins, you know why.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Let's move on to another question.
And yes, I'm very superstitious.
I know you are. I'm aware. Over under years Antonio Brown spends with the Raiders. 1.5. Over under 1.5.
Over.
Me too. It's not even a question to me. When you go to a team like the Raiders, it's clearly going to be an over.
Gruden's there for another 8 years anyways, 9 years until he gets fired.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? I think he's doing the right thing there.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm interested what the Dolphins are going to do at quarterback, by the way.
Colin Kaepernick. I mean, really, that's where we're heading at this point. So, I mean, we're heading there. Okay. Question for the podcast. How do you guys feel about playing hockey overs first period? Seems like they're not as profitable now that they're so popular. So are they even worth it? For me, hockey first period overs are no longer worth it. It's now all about hockey first period unders. Hockey first period overs used to be a fantastic way to bet the game. If you didn't want to bet full game, you want to bet first period, one of the best ways. Now they've become a very popular mainstream bet. Because of that, everyone's betting them, and because of that, the books are juicing the prices because people still bet them despite the juice. So the value in the first period is now on the unders, no longer the overs. It's hard to find a good first period over. It really is. You know, you have to really find the 5.5 teams, the Predators, the Blues, the Kings, the Coyotes sometimes. You know, teams like that find a good first period over, the Ducks. You know, so it's hard. I think the first period unders are where the true value lies these days.
Yeah, that's whenever I bet, I always take the under first period.
Yeah. So again, I think you can do it, but it's not easy. So
again, I'm friendly with a former professional hockey player and likes to dabble a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I'm aware of who that guy is.
Tells me about the first period stuff.
Interesting. Okay. So. And funny, our next question, which is a week later, by the way, similar stuff. Could you guys talk about a possible alternative to first period overs in hockey? This particular prop is hitting at a historic rate with some teams, but the juice is oftentimes far too high, which is a big deterrent for most bettors. I've read that props such as each team scoring during the period can carry much more favorable lines. Are these the type of bets you see something, you know, yourselves playing, diving into small plays? Again, I think we just kind of explained it. It doesn't always have to be scoring. Sometimes it can be less scoring, like unders. Unders, to me, are the way to play first periods now. Very simple. So the alternate line instead of overs is first period unders. I think that's pretty straightforward. All right. Question, if not asked already, is whether you guys handicap baseball.
Oh, God. So I tried to, dude, we're not there yet. We're going to do a Major League Baseball breakdown at some point.
Yep.
To me, it's just about, are you willing to put up the juice or not? That's what it comes down to for me. Oh, Chris Sale's minus 230 versus, you know, the Marlins. Do you really want to risk 230?
Here's the thing. I don't ever bet the juice. Ever bet the juice in baseball. Got to find the value. So to me, the value lies in the run lines, in reverse run lines, in first fives, in whatever you got to do to avoid the juice. And in my opinion, there are multiple ways that you can avoid it. I bet baseball all the time. There are definitely ways to avoid the juice. So,
oh yeah, of course. I like the minus 1.5. That's always one of my big ones.
Yep. So, all right. When gambling becomes legal in Massachusetts, do you think you'll switch to betting with the Mass Casino or stay with the offshore books?
Local.
I will be doing the same thing I'm doing now. The only thing is, you know, on weekends and, you know, times I can get down to the casino, I'll go down there and I'll bet those days, and I won't bet on the online books those days. Pretty simple. So, I mean, in my opinion, there's no change.
Let's be honest here. Would you rather get a credit to bet, or would you rather put your money up first and bet?
Well, I
want the credit.
Yeah.
If I win at the end of the week, you pay me. If I lose, I pay you. That's what I like. Yeah. I don't want to be taxed.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. All right. Another question. Question I was sort of asked last episode, so no worries if you think they are very similar. Don't want to repeat yourself. But most of Dan's play is model-based, mixing with some general handicapping, especially college basketball. Joe's play is based on his gut feelings and trends. No need to give answers if you don't want to give him too much of the secret. I think he's just asking. I have a model that I use and developed and whatever, and then I find plays that are suitable within that model for me, and then I determine what I like. And again, I also go by feel. So if something is in the model but I don't like it, I'm not going to play it. Pretty simple. And Joe,
if you got a model and it works, go with it. I've tried that before. I'm more of an eyeball. I've eyeballed everything my whole entire life.
Yep, there you go. So you eyeball, I do a little bit more statistical. It works for both of us. All right, another question. What are your biggest / most important influences for you to pick a team? Do you fall into the trap of if a team burns you, do you feel confident going back to them again, like the list? And then favorite sport to bet on. So I'm not going to answer the favorite sport to bet on because, again, it depends on the season. Most important influences, I guess, to pick a team. I mean, it depends on every sport.
Sometimes in the NFL, I take the better quarterback, which is just different, which isn't always the case.
Home teams.
Yep.
You know, a lot of college trends, like the home team numbers are important to me, more than other stuff. So I guess that's the way I would go. I really don't have a specific answer because every sport is different. And so you can go differently with every sport. I think you just have to find what you think is the most important to you and test it out and see if it's worth it. Okay. Who would you bet on to win the NCAA tournament? We've discussed that / we'll discuss it more on Monday. What is your all-time dream match in wrestling history, Joe? I do not have one. I know jack shit about wrestling.
What is a dream match that hasn't happened?
All time. Nope. Just didn't say that. Just all time dream match in wrestling history.
I loved Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels ladder match. That's probably one of my favorites of all time. I actually at WrestleMania last year, the Ronda Rousey fight when she made her first appearance, it was actually really good to watch. And it was a lot of acting, obviously. that was actually really good live. But the old anything from the Attitude Era was really, really good. And, you know, Stone Cold was probably like one of the best, like on character, Rock, same thing like that. I like the real grinders in there, man. Dean Malenko's, guys like Eddie Guerrero. I love Chris Benoit. Like, I loved all that. That era, that's right up my alley.
Okay. I have nothing to add. Another question, is baseball a lot harder to cap than college basketball? Absolutely. I love baseball, but I feel like it's much harder to make money more than football or basketball. I feel football is much harder than baseball. I feel baseball is easy.
Oh, wow. See, yeah, maybe it is. It's just the juice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I stay away from the juice. I find the players that I can find good value in. I like taking a lot of plus money. I think plus money is definitely your friend in baseball. I think also you got to find teams to fade. You know, sometimes you just got to find teams to fade. You know, sometimes, the Blue Jays just cannot win against a certain AL East team, which we've seen the past couple of years. You fade them versus that team, regardless of the line, regardless of who's pitching. Sometimes these factors are just important. And so sometimes you just got to roll with those. I don't think baseball is that more difficult. I think people are just scared of it because there's a lot of juice. So, okay. All right, from Adam Bowser. I haven't lost in 8 to 10 weeks since following you guys, and I'm afraid of getting cut off by my book. When managing multiple books, do you break up the units evenly between all your accounts? Explain more on how you manage multiple accounts. So, Joe, I think this is more for me. I have a general amount that I know in my head, and I do percentages based off that. So pretty simple. If you feel you're scared of getting cut off, I would diversify. Maybe take a week away from your local. Go to something else online. Bet there. You know, a little diversification never hurt. Get some better lines. Whatever. So in my opinion, that would be the best way to handle that. And, I just always have a number in my head, and it's very, very simple of where I am in terms of my bankroll that I currently have split up between the books and whatever. It's not that hard. You know, you can do the math pretty quickly. And, again, you're just betting percentages. So whatever I get the best line on, I'll bet the percentage of whatever I have in total. Simple.
Okay. I try not to use multiple accounts. It gets scary.
Yeah. So it works for some people. It doesn't work for others. Like, it works for me. I like having multiple options. I like having one general number. I know what the general number is, but I just feel getting the best number for me is awesome. So in what scenarios do you recommend buying points? Please don't use my name if you happen to use this question. Luckily, I did not use his name because you're supposed to just put that at the front of the question. But yeah, in what scenarios do you recommend buying points?
I think you might have been gone, but there's just certain situations. If the team's 1.5, either bet the money line or buy the hook. You know, there's certain in football, buy it to 3.5. Sometimes don't take a team that just win by 3. Try to make it by 2 in case it goes into overtime and there's 2-point conversions. I went on a whole diatribe about this.
All right, so I have to switch the board over again.
One more question. We got to wrap this up.
Okay,
we're working on over 2 hours now.
Okay. I'm going to the casino for one of the first 2 days of the tournament. I'm fine doing my regular selective betting. My friends want to try and hit it really big. What would be the best strategy for them? ML dogs, ML favorite parlays, teasers, round robins. My suggestion is you tell your friends not to be dumbasses and be patient. Honestly, yep. Because you're trying to hit it too big, you're going to end up losing your ass.
I would just bet dogs and try to hit it that way. Like +7 or maybe even a money line. You're not going to go to the casino and like, unless you go nuts on the roulette table or, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to, sports betting's, it's a bankroll, man.
Yep.
It's all about a bankroll. It's not about winning one day.
Agreed.
You can go 6-0 one day and 0-6 the next, Dan.
Agreed. So I'll be recording my NHL segment separately of this. It will be before this segment, so you'll hear this afterwards, and you'll be like, why is he saying this? But it is what it is. I think we can wrap this up. Joe, we are going to plan on doing a podcast on Monday. So that is the plan as of now. Podcast on Monday. So, we'll do something out there. Maybe we'll just do a short podcast, maybe just a segment on college basketball, and just do one for you guys on Monday.
Okay.
Any other thoughts?
That's it, man. We really knocked it out today.
All right. All right, Joe.
So we got Dan's college plays coming up in a bit. Keep sending your stuff over under 985 at over under 985. We broke down everything here. So if you guys are going to tweet us, hey, what do you think? Listen to the podcast. I might write that. I might just pin that to my account. listen to the party.
Agreed. And any questions we didn't answer, we'll answer next week. We'll keep the – we have four or five, and we'll answer them next week.
You got it. All right, so that's it for this week. Good luck, everyone. We'll be back on Monday with a big tournament breakdown here. For Dan Lipschatz, I'm Joe Murray. It's over, under 985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.